about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
Hi, folks. Welcome to our show. If I had known it was Casual Wednesday, I'd have left my jacket backstage.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Good morning, chuckleheads.
Yeah, right on.
Hey, podcast listeners. This episode has lots of jokes. Some people might find the jokes offensive. If you're listening with young kids, you might want to save this for later.
I'm offended. I'm offended that you're offended. I'm goddamn offended. I'm offended about your offensive offense. Offended by every motherfucking one of you. I'm goddamn offended.
Welcome.
Hi.
Nice. Where are you coming from?
Los Angeles.
L.A. Yeah, I used to live there. I had so much fun with so many people. I almost died.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, and now.
Well, did you know that according to men, women exaggerate everything?
Our feature presentation.
Isn't that the truth? Hey, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin Devine Show, this time for a Wednesday, 24th of August. What's up, you guys?
You know, just exaggerating and
you know,
stuff.
All those things we do.
Like you do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you have earthquake feelings, Ellie?
Oh, it's concerning.
Because they're two such big earthquakes so close together?
I mean, 6.8 and what is the one in, that's the one in Burma. So
6.2 in Italy?
6.2 in Italy. Mm-hmm. Those are huge.
How far apart are they? Is that like 1,000 miles? That's quite a distance, right?
Well, Italy and just above, I believe, Thailand. I haven't mapped it out.
Okay. It's a long ways.
It's a long ways.
Well, the reason I ask is because I'm just wondering, and I'm no geologist, believe it or not, but I'm just wondering if they are related.
Oh.
But that would seem unlikely at that distance, I would think.
For sure.
Right? So just because we're seeing big earthquakes in other parts of the world, does it mean we're more likely to see earthquakes in North America?
I don't think so.
I wouldn't think so either.
Mm-mm.
But again, I don't know.
This has been very helpful. Thank you for walking me through this.
But isn't that the first thing you think is, all right, you see that one earthquake and you go, oh, man, that's sad, that's bad. And that one in Italy is, you know, as
we were talking about off air, decimated that
town. Decimated that town and has killed at least 37 people so far that they found. But you go, oh, that's a terrible tragedy. I hate it when that happens. But then when you see the other one happen, doesn't your spidey sense start tingling? You go, maybe it's on.
Like they're just going to happen everywhere now?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hey, we don't know how the world ends, you guys. Maybe that's how it ends. It's just a ring of earthquakes, just one right after another. It's a chain reaction. The next thing you know, we're all living in the ocean.
Can we start over?
Yeah, this has been an uplifting conversation
for 5:30. It's the worst.
It's a terrible way to spend our last day on land, I'll tell you that.
Ugh, with you?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's keep our eyes peeled for another one and see if it's heading our way. Maybe it's like a wave and it's coming towards
us. Stop it!
So if Hawaii is gone by the end of the show, then we need to brace ourselves.
I feel like you should maybe stop talking.
Yeah.
Here's a story.
That's a standing policy.
How dare you? Here's a story to get us going this morning out of Pittston Township. I'm not familiar with it. Ralph may be. It's in Pennsylvania. It's in Luzerne County. You know, we've had a lot of stories lately on the show that are very karma-like.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy who got killed when he was out razor-blading tires the other day. Remember?
Right.
And the tire exploded and killed him. This guy, same sort of deal. He was one of these people, and maybe you've been this person, and maybe you've known people who have been this person, who was fed up with the neighbor's tree dripping sap onto his car. Neighbor's tree was on the neighbor's property, but the branches extended over into his driveway. So he would park there, and every day he would come out, there'd be sap all over his car, and he'd be like, hey, neighbor. And the neighbor would be like, it's not my fault, it's my tree. You know, I can't help where the branches go. So what did this man do? Well, of course, he chopped down the neighbor's tree. A huge tree, by the way, with a 36-inch wide trunk.
He didn't just get the branches that were
nope.
in his... Oh, dear.
He chopped the whole tree down. And by the way, either way, branches or trunk, that's illegal, right? You can't just cut down your neighbor's tree. It's on his property.
Like, oh, But you said the branches were coming onto his
branches
property.
Came over here.
Oh, I feel like you should be able to cut those down.
Oh, maybe you can.
Yeah.
Or at least cut them to the, you know.
Maybe, maybe you can cut them to the fence line. I guess it looked dumb, but I guess you could do that. Well, he decided not to. This is Raymond Mazzarella. Mm-hmm. So he cuts down the whole tree. And because this is a karma story, you can imagine that the tree fell onto his apartment building.
Ooh.
And it is now uninhabitable.
Oh,
so
he
lost his home. He can't move. His place is red tagged because he cut down a tree on the neighbor's property. A Pittston Township code enforcement officer said he decided it was the best thing to do to get rid of the tree. Where he thought it was going to go, I don't know. Authorities have condemned the building. Five people have to find new places to stay.
No.
When the tree fell, a neighbor, Rick Woods, was in his apartment sitting on his couch watching TV. All of a sudden, he heard a big crash. I thought a tractor trailer had lost its brakes and ran into something, not realizing it was a tree falling on the house. Mr. Mazzarella, by the way, was checked out at a hospital, but it doesn't say in this article whether he was also injured by the tree falling or not. After he got out of the hospital on Monday, he went back to the apartment house and got into a confrontation with the neighbor whose tree it was.
Oh, dear.
And I would have loved to have heard how that started. Did the neighbor come out and start screaming at the man for chopping down his tree? Or did the bad man go seeking the neighbor out, mad at him because he had chopped down the tree and now he's homeless? I don't know.
Well, you reap what you sow, sir.
Yeah. I mean, the guy's a dick.
Yeah.
All right. So now there's a confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
The neighbor pulls out a stun gun to protect himself.
Okay.
Mazzarella then pulls out a baseball bat.
Well, you don't just pull out a baseball bat. This guy had a plan.
It did escalate quickly.
Wow.
Mazzarella was arrested, by the way, and now also in addition to the previous charges of trespassing and destruction of private property, he is being charged with assault and harassment and is locked up in jail on a $10,000 bail.
Oh, my.
That is not how he expected his day to go. He thought he was going to go over there and chop down that tree, and then it was going to be easy living after that.
Did he think it would just go away? Like, everything would be fine. The neighbor would be
gone.
Cool.
It's cool with it.
I wonder if, see, again, I want to deep dive into this whole story. I want to see these guys on Judge Judy so we can figure out what really happened. I wonder if it was a deal where he went over there in the middle of the night, was trying to chop it down without anyone knowing it was him. Like, they couldn't prove it was me.
Who would ever think it was him?
Right?
Complaining about the sap every day.
But even if you did, you couldn't prove it was him unless somebody saw him, right?
Sure.
Or they found his chainsaw or something. Red Cross is helping others who live in the apartment building with temporary places to stay. However, Mr. Mazzarella doesn't have to worry about that because he is in jail. So there you go. That's what happens, kids, when you take the law into your own hands. So don't do that.
That's a good tip, Bean.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at today's all-new show, shall we?
Forgive me, but I feel I must say this. You are way hotter in person.
I appreciate that so much. We got a new edition of Beer Mug Explains today.
Wow.
And you aren't going to believe it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
So good.
Right?
Should we give a hint?
No.
Wow.
Okay.
Bean makes his guess on the program today. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm.
Allie, you found a story yesterday, and we'll talk about this in detail later, about a guy who had a thing under his bed.
Yeah.
That he just kept there for good luck.
Yeah, he found it and just thought, I'm going to keep it under here
for a bit. Hang on to this. It's kind of neat.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow he went to sell it. Yeah. And how much was it worth?
$76 million. Wow.
So the topic will be, you had a thing that turned out to be way more valuable than you expected. That'll be in the 7 o'clock hour, 8:05 this morning. It's our latest Bachelor in Paradise report with Ralph and Petros. That's going to be fun. It looks like sex robot brothels are happening in my lifetime. That's good news.
Have you booked a flight?
Not yet. I'm waiting to find out where the first one opens.
All right.
Might be in Thailand. It's a long way to go, but it sounds like it's going to be worth it.
Totally.
Give you more tickets for our upcoming Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
That is going to be 1 week from today, kids.
Oh, yeah.
Sting.
Right. 1 week from today in the Red Bull Sound Space on K-Rock. That's happening. Gordon Ramsay on the show today, Master Chef. He's got something like, he's earned something like... What's the prize they give you from Michelin? Stars? They give him stars?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his restaurants have like 16 Michelin stars.
Wow.
This guy's a good chef is what I'm saying. And he's got a TV show called MasterChef. We'll talk to Mr. Ramsey about that later on the program. Plus, Ralph is here. That means the Showbiz Beat, and that's next, right after this on K-Rock. Ralph, you're the smart one. I want your opinion on this.
Yes, I am.
You heard, I don't know if you were listening on the way in.
Guilty.
Us girls all speculating about how earthquakes work. And I was wondering if these earthquakes, these bad earthquakes happening in other parts of the world, affect us at all. And a listener, Eric, wrote in and said, all these earthquakes are along the same fault system. So what's happening is a good thing that's happening elsewhere. I feel bad for them, but it relieves the stress on the Ring of Fire, which is our tectonic plate and fault system, and it helps us not have earthquakes.
Yes.
That just sounds like junk science to me.
Why?
I feel like they can't all be on the same fault system because there are lots of different fault systems. And I feel like something...
No, but there can be fault systems that stretch across the globe. I don't know about this particular fault system, but it's certainly possible.
Really? So something that happens 3,000 miles away could affect the ground under our feet.
Yeah, you're talking about giant plates that cover the surface of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the scale of it, the size of the plate is goes far beyond, you know, countries of origin or you know, oceans or anything. They're these massive, you know, global size
continent size plates. Yeah,
yeah. That rub up against each other. And what he's saying is it's relieving pressure. These plates are rubbing up against each other. So in essence, if it is the same fault line, they say once it relieves the pressure, that you're less likely to get another earthquake for a while.
Well, I guess that's good. I guess that's good news then, right?
Yes, I would think so.
I was convinced that we're going down.
Well, I know, because you're nuts.
It sounded to me like it was a rolling wave that was heading our way, and it was only a matter of minutes before we were next.
I was more concerned that you didn't know that if someone's branches are hanging over your property line, that you can cut them off.
Right? I found that very odd. I'm like, can't he just cut those? Well, no.
You can't just cut someone's branches off.
But he did say, you know, he can go in the middle of the night with a chainsaw and no one would know what was happening.
Maybe he's trying to cut it out in the middle of the night and no one would know it. But what was that, an axe? Just that chopping sound? No one would wake up to that sound?
Look, I didn't think it all the way through.
You
come on.
Through it all.
All right. I.
But how did you not know if someone's branches are hanging over your property line,
well,
you can cut them off?
I guess I still thought it was their property. It's still, they still own it. You know, it's still their tree.
See, this is what happens when you're a plantation owner like Bean. When you've got all that expansive land, you don't worry about that.
No
kind
neighbors.
Of stuff.
So.
No neighbors. Right. You just have just acres and acres of property.
Look,
rich white man.
I never get to the edge of my 1,000 acres. You know
you
that.
Don't.
I don't even know if anything lies beyond
even,
it.
You don't even bother to plow the back 40 anymore.
This could be the end of the world. Everything I can see, as far as I know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for clarifying that. I guess that's good news. We can breathe a little easier. It's 5:56. It is Wednesday. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat.
You can also breathe a little easier because all the Kardashians are going to jail.
What?
Wow.
Yep.
That's great news. I hadn't heard about that.
Well, not really, but maybe something bad will happen to them. Apparently, there's a watchdog group called Truth in Advertising. And they have accused the Kardashians of not disclosing paid sponsorships on their Instagram accounts. So they sent them a strongly worded letter and said, knock it off. All right, not quite jail, but still.
Right.
Apparently, it is a violation of the Federal Trade Commission that if you don't... That if you are posting ads on your Instagram account, you have to disclose it.
No really? Kidding. Even if you're just a private person?
Apparently.
Wow.
Huh.
So they were doing it surreptitiously, and they said they repeatedly failed to disclose instances in which Instagram posts were paid for by an advertiser. Brands like Puma, Calvin Klein, Fit Tea, also accused by the watchdog group of doing this. So, here it says, celebrities often use social media accounts to plug brands in exchange for money, but under FTC rules, the paid posts must be clearly marked to avoid deceiving potential customers.
And I just assumed everything they said was from the heart. I didn't think that money even entered their mind
Who
when it came to using social media.
That crass commercialism would be a motivation for the Kardashians. I thought they were just sharing.
I just thought they loved Puma.
Yeah. Love poo. Right?
I don't...
No, that didn't.
I think that worked.
Didn't fly?
No.
Hey, Beanie, excited?
About?
Weird Al Yankovic has a new cartoon series coming.
Hells yeah.
Have you heard about this?
Of course I have. Your little friend Allie McKay sitting between us is on that show.
What?
Hi.
That's crazy.
It's true.
It's a new character called Milo Murphy's Law. He's the voice of Milo Murphy.
It's super cute.
It's on Disney XD's channel, and he's set to debut on October the 3rd. Now, Bean, you famously don't watch animation.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do in this circumstance where Weird Al Yankovic is the star of an animated series?
Al trumps all. I'll watch Al, sure. He does the theme song, too.
You're a flipper and a flopper.
I am both of those things.
And a racist and a farter.
Well, I don't know about that. But
Ralph, you know who created the show?
Oh, let me guess. Steve Kuznicks?
Nope.
Swampy?
Yep.
Oh.
Yay! Swampy Martian Dan Povenmire.
Other
the
voices?
Creators of Phineas and Ferb.
Other voices on the show? Our friend Ming-Na Wen?
Aha.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
That was unintentional.
That was so creepy.
That was completely natural. I didn't
it
mean
wasn't.
To.
It wasn't. No, it's the last thing it was natural.
It just came out.
That's what he says when his pants are down. It just came out, officer. Christian Slater. Sarah Chalk. I love Sarah Chalk.
Sarah Chalk.
Mackenzie Phillips. Ooh. Vanessa Williams.
Ooh.
Interesting cast of celebs here. Does not have your name here on this list, Allie.
But no, I'm sure you're doing good work. I believe you just said celebs.
I'm sure you're doing good work.
I think Allie is a... Who are you? Is
just
everybody.
Random
like,
people.
Like you on Family Guy.
Are you Joe?
I hope so. I hope to one day be Joe.
Maybe Alice?
Hopefully.
Give me a name.
I don't know.
Have you recorded anything yet?
Mm-hmm. Months ago.
So you don't remember who you played?
I honestly don't remember that one.
I'm sure Swampy will be happy to know. That's how much you care about his work.
No, it's good promotion, Allie.
I'll let you know when my first episode airs.
Please do. Today's celebrity birthdays, Steve Guttenberg, my buddy the Goots.
The Goot.
Oh, I love Goots.
Remember we had him on last year? It was so fun.
We were talking about Lava Lantula.
Mm-hmm.
Just recently, Sci-Fi aired Lava 2 Lantula 2. The
right?
sequel to the wildly popular Flaming Spider movie that was lacking in the Garmin department. But
yeah, well,
who's going to complain, right?
How are you going to come back from that?
Right.
You were super dead.
How does Pirate Jack return?
Right.
He
As
can't.
A ghost that helps them?
Well, you know, there was talk, maybe like a force ghost. I could be like, you know, Obi-Wan. I could just be in the distance like a blue ghost just looking over.
It's helpful.
Give me my advice.
Steve had a cameo playing the same character as he played in Lava Lantula in Sharknado 4 as well.
You don't have to tell me. Craig Kilborn's 54 years old. Vince McMahon of the WWE is 71 years old. Dave Chappelle, the comedian, turns 43. Michael Chad Murray from One Tree Hill. And most recently, Agent Carter. He was so good on that show. 35 years old. From your Los Angeles Kings, Mr. Kopitar. He's one of the best.
He is.
29 years old today. And actor Rupert Grint celebrates his 28th birthday. Ron Weasley from the Potter Films. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Chef Gordon Ramsay joins us on the program next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And keep listening for more chances to you to win your way in to Breakfast with Sting, which is 1 week from today in the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. All right, you guys ready to play?
Yeah!
Hit it, Steve.
Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
Brr. Bean makes us guess, yeah.
Gets penis slapped.
Bean is a dick.
Pretty dope, man.
Just wanna tell ya.
I am the dumbest human that ever lived.
Now it's time for Bean makes us guess.
Yes.
I don't know if you guys heard the Afro caller last week who was singing that song out loud in the supermarket as he did his shopping when he ran into an old lady who just didn't know why he was talking about slapping and penises and everything else. But that's
and why you were a dick.
The great yes, that's a great
she got
DJ.
That.
Oh, my God. Oh, Bean? Oh, yeah, Dick.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, this is a good one, you guys. And I can't believe we haven't done it yet, but I found a list that I found fascinating of the world's most common phobias.
Oh.
Ooh. These popular fears.
Allie's jotting things down.
Of course she is. These popular fears can paralyze you.
Mm.
They are incontrollable no matter what logic tells you. Mm. The most common phobias in the world is today's Bean Makes Us Guess. And I have to be honest, in the top 10, there is one that I have never heard of. Everything else is very common. This one I've never heard of, so I'm just giving you a heads up. There's one we're probably not going to guess unless you guys have heard of it.
Beanophobia?
So, it doesn't say that here, but, well, listen, the monkey's out. He is, by the way, just on vacation. He will return. I know people are convinced he's dead, but he'll be back. So, Ralph, why don't you take the ceremonial first slot today?
Wow.
this is exciting and unexpected.
Well,
fears. Let's say fear of heights.
Well, fear of heights is only number one. Yeah! But just number one. Hmm. That is called acrophobia.
Me, Allie, not jotting down a thing. Just sitting here saying stuff. Number one.
Acrophobia, by the way. The extreme or irrational fear of heights is the most common phobia in the world.
And good night. I'm out.
Beer mug in position two today. What is your
guess? Grass?
Oh, stop it, Ralph.
Cheers.
I'm going to make a better guess than that.
Oh, really?
We're going to go with fear of spiders, arachnophobia.
Ladies and gentlemen, number two on the list is arachnophobia. I don't want to say the pressure's on here, Allie McKay, but they're owning it. What do you think?
Public speaking.
Public speaking is number seven.
Seven.
Anyone know what that's called, by the way? That is glossophobia.
Talk-a-lot-a-phobia.
It is glossophobia. Glossophobia is the fear of public speaking. So that is number seven. Well done. We are 3-for-3, and the wheel spins back around to Ralph Garm.
I would have to say claustrophobia.
Ladies and gentlemen, number three on the list. The fear of enclosed spaces is, in fact, claustrophobia. Well done, sir. Muggs, you're up.
I'm going to go with water, hydrophobia. Jumping in the pool, swimming, being in the ocean.
I'm going to say...
We know what water is. We know where to find it.
Give me more examples.
I am only hesitating because there is a water-related fear. I don't know whether to give it to
Muggs. I don't think you should.
Water! I said what?
No.
The first thing I said was water.
Yeah, but it's a specific fear in water.
I think I'm going to agree with the girl and say no.
What's the specific fear?
You don't know. Maybe someone will guess it.
Maybe you should have said what it was, and then you would have an answer.
You guys suck.
being alive a phobia. Stuff that happens to you when you're alive.
Allie, this might be a good time for you to swoop in.
Would
it be the fear, like in water, that you can't see the bottom?
That is exactly right. It's the fear of deep water.
Deep water.
Now, sea bugs, there's very different very to be afraid different. Of going in the ocean than it is being afraid to turn your tap on. Thalassophobia.
The ocean is deep. Water.
Thalassophobia is number five on the list. Well done, Allie McKay. All right, so you are you got 2 points. I think
Ralph has two.
Muggs has one, right?
Yes.
All right, Ralph, your turn.
Since I went with claustrophobia last time, let's flip the script and say agoraphobia, fear of wide open spaces.
I'm sorry, that's a great guess, but it did not make the top ten. It's number 15.
Wow.
Number 15 on the list. Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going snakes. Snakes. Snakes.
One more.
Snakes.
Hey.
Believe it or not, Muggs, number four on the list is the fear of snakes. And that is called ophidiophobia. Ophidiophobia. I thought it was the fear of 50 Cent, but it's apparently fear of snakes.
Oh, wow.
So congratulations.
All right. So number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, and number seven. You guys are really good at this one.
Commitment.
That might just be you.
Commitment. No?
Let me
Let's
see.
Not just be you, Allie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sorry. No.
Really?
No commitment. Let's go around one more time.
Well, that's dumb.
It's all tied up.
Is it all tied up? I don't think Ralph's missed one.
No, it's all tied up.
Yeah, I did with the agoraphobia.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, tied up then. Well done.
Clowns.
Oh,
that's a fantastic guess. That's just outside the top.
Ralph.
Oh.
What?
My mistake.
What
it's
happened?
Just inside the top 10. Ladies and gentlemen, coulrophobia is number 10.
Well done,
Ralph.
Thank you.
Number 10.
I was out, then I was in.
Yeah.
Yes. I was in and out.
Okay.
In and out.
All right. Stop with the
not a great visual. We get it.
All right. Muggs, your final guess. Make it count, son.
Are you Jerry Reed?
Let's go with...
Make it count, son!
Flying in airplanes.
I think that is on this list here. It is number 18.
Oh.
It is aviophobia. Fear of flying is aviophobia.
Damn it.
All right, Allie, bring us home.
Sharks.
That is another outstanding guess. That is number 12.
Mother!
Galophobia.
Damn it.
Some of the ones on the list, by the way, include fear of the dark.
Oh, of course.
Fear of the dentist, fear of dogs, fear of vomiting, fear of rats or mice. But inside the top 10, the only ones we didn't get, the one that I never heard of at number 9 is called trypophobia. It is a psychological fear of objects with irregular patterns of holes.
What are you saying?
What?
I don't even know what that means.
I never heard of it either.
Like a shirt with weird buttons?
Like a cheese grater?
Yes, like a cheese grater.
No.
Exactly. Irregular patterns of holes.
That's not real. Come on, Bean.
I didn't make the list. Number 8 on the list is maybe the one that I have, is necrophobia, a fear of death.
Yeah, I guess
fear of death is number 8.
Doesn't everyone have necrophobia?
Doing it with dead people.
Oh, necrophilia.
Same thing, right?
Not the same.
No.
Number 7, I think we mentioned, was fear of public speaking is claustrophobia. Number 6 was a fear of needles. That's a trypanophobia is a fear of needles.
Those people are pussies.
And then you guys got the rest. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Congratulations. Do we have a tie?
Ralph's the winner, of course. Again.
Ralph won.
Bring me offerings, fine cheeses and wines to my throne.
Okay.
This has been Bean Makes His Guess.
Bean Makes His Guess, yeah.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. Thank you so much for that choice today. And this is the Kevin and Bean Show. Allie, what kind of bandwidth do you have in your life for the music of Mr. Frank Ocean?
I love Frank Ocean.
Yeah?
Love. I think Nostalgia is amazing. That's one of my favorite albums, but I was very excited Saturday to get Blonde.
Yeah, it finally came out. Frank Ocean is a guy who is, he's certainly a critical favorite. You don't hear a lot of his music on the radio, though.
Mm-mm.
And I think he's an acquired taste. He's not for everybody. I mean, I like him a lot, too, but kind of like a lot of Radiohead, you have to be in the right mood for Frank Ocean.
Right.
I think. Here's a little bit of his first single from the new album, Blonde, that, as you mentioned, came out Saturday on Apple Music only right now. But this is a song called Nikes, if you want to get an idea what Frank's about.
I got two versions. I got two versions.
Two bitches for Nike.
This is a setup.
They're looking for a check.
Oh, my God.
Okay, so
don't let that sway you from Frank Ocean.
Like I say,
it's don't let that song.
It's fairly challenging.
Yeah.
But one guy who has always been in Frank's corner and has produced him before, including on this new record, is Kanye West. Kanye loves Frank Ocean.
Yeah.
In fact, he went on a Twitter tirade this week. If anybody at radio really loves music, come together and pick your favorite Frank Ocean song and play it at least 10 times a day. Every station across the globe. iHeart, Clear Channel, local station, satellite, every station. This will make the world better. Me and Drake both listen to Frank. Radio has to support amazing artists. Ask yourself, why do you love music in the first place, and what can you do to add to the story? Power to the people. Power to the artist. Empower the artist and create a more inspired world. That says Kanye. Kanye went so far as to contribute to this project in an unusual way. When Frank Ocean opened up those pop-up stores in 4 cities around the globe over the weekend, he gave away a big magazine with lots of pictures and artwork and poems. And Kanye West provided a poem for the project about McDonald's. Now, we talked about this first thing Monday morning. I couldn't believe that he had done this. It looks like lyrics to a Kanye West song.
Mm-hmm.
But he has not recorded it yet. However, that doesn't mean we can't enjoy it in its full majesty, because we do have a man just for this task, and it's our friend, TV's Batman, Adam West, who joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Mr. West, how are you, sir?
Actually, I'm right here in the studio, Ben.
Oh, I didn't even see you, Adam. How are you?
Yes, well, you know, I'm a small man.
Well, it's always a pleasure to have you on. And you, this isn't the first time we've talked to you about Kanye West, right?
No. As you know, I'm a huge fan of Yeezys.
Right? That's a little bit of a surprise to me at your age.
But I love Frank Ocean as well.
Wow, really? You know who Frank Ocean is?
Yes, I prefer his early work, like Caribbean Queen and Want to Be Your Lover, Boy.
That's Billy Ocean.
I'm sure that this new album is just as good.
So, well, Mr. West, what about Kanye's poem about McDonald's?
Yes. Masterpiece.
Really? You enjoyed that much, too?
Classic.
A lot of people thought it seemed like something you might write when you were, I don't know, 5 to 10 years old.
You just don't understand. The man is so very deep.
Okay. Well, for our listeners who have not yet enjoyed the poem, of course, you know, the pop-up shops were difficult to get into, and there weren't very many copies given away. Maybe they haven't seen or heard the poem yet. Would you mind doing a reading of Kanye West's McDonald's Man poem?
It would be my great pleasure, Bean.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Adam West.
McDonald's Man. McDonald's Man. The French fries had a plan. The French fries had a plan. The salad bar and the ketchup made a band. 'Cause the French fries had a plan. The French fries had a plan. McDonald's, man. McDonald's. I know them French fries have a plan. I know them French fries have a plan. The cheeseburger and the shakes formed a band.
Oh.
To overthrow the French fries plan. I always knew them French fries was evil, man. Smelling all good and ass. I don't trust no food that smells that good, man. I don't trust it. I can't. McDonald's, man. McDonald's, man. McDonald's!
Right.
Man. Them French fries look good, though. I knew the Diet Coke was jealous of the fries. I knew the McNuggets was jealous of the fries. Even the McRib was jealous of the fries. I could see it through his artificial meat eyes. Then, he only be there some of the time. Everybody was jealous of them French fries. Except for that one special guy.
Who's that?
That smooth apple pie.
Wow.
Yay!
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow. That's
ladies
art.
And gentlemen. That is something else. Thank you, Mr. West.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right?
Right.
Who's with me?
Oh, so with you.
It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q, and the Kevin and Bean Show. We have a meeting after the show every day where we discuss a variety of topics, one of which is what we're going to do on the next day's program. But then sometimes little conversations pop up out of nowhere that surprise me.
Yeah.
Like, why is the King of Mexico – why did the King of Mexico see Beer Mug naked, for instance? Like, I don't understand that. So how did that
happen? Well, he was a bad boy and needed to be punished.
Because
sometimes
the king,
you have to pay the price.
Because the king won't stop talking about it. I do know that.
Well, would you? If you saw – like a horrific interstate pileup. If it was the worst disaster you had ever witnessed, just if you saw, I don't know, say 30, 40 cars just smashing into each other on black ice and smoke and fire and carnage, would you ever be able to stop telling that story?
No, that would be burned into your brain forever.
Right, right.
Yeah,
and
I
so,
guess you'd
and
have
so
to.
With Dave Sanchez.
Dare you. Muggs, how did he see you naked?
There was a picture circulating that he happened to see.
Who would take a picture of that?
My frontal area.
Okay.
Why?
Wow.
Why would a photo like that be released into the wild? That's the type of thing that should be 20 miles beneath the Earth's surface.
Right.
In a locked vault.
In a salt mine in Utah or something where they keep radioactive materials.
It's something that I'd rather not discuss.
His lovely fiance thought it would be nice to freak me out.
All right, Dave says that your lovely fiance tried to freak Dave out.
Yeah, yeah.
At least she knows that's a weapon. At least she knows she has something she can wield.
So wait, so your fiance had a naked picture of you, and I don't want more information about why or how that happened,
yeah.
And then decided to just start sharing it around?
Well, she took it without me knowing to screw with me.
Oh, no.
And she likes to imbibe alcohol and start showing it to people.
Uh-huh.
And that's how that happened with Dave.
That sounds like revenge porn to me.
Yeah, it almost is. It almost is.
All right. So
if I may, Bean, if you let me do
yes, please,
here.
Please.
By all accounts.
Because I'm queasy already.
By all accounts, it's just heinous. It's just a horrible, horrible display of just hirsute. Just awfulness and thick brush, and it looks like overgrown awfulness by all accounts.
Number one, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
Dave keeps saying it's so an overgrown thick thatch of just wiry black awfulness.
It's changed, Dave. It really has.
His eyes won't stop watering. I know that.
It's not that bad.
His eyes will smell that forever.
Oh.
Your eyes could smell?
Yes, that's how bad the picture is. That's my point, Beer Mug. That was the joke.
So
Jesus Christ.
So that comes up in the meeting yesterday, and then Beer Mug says...
Well, then I say...
Yeah.
I jumped in and said, what's wrong with you? Why don't you manscape? I mean, I myself am a huge proponent of the manscaping.
Oh, I don't need to know any of this.
I shave in the shower.
Oh, God.
Two regions every morning. I've got two. I do my face.
Okay.
Got my shower mirror on the wall. My shaving mirror on the shower wall. And then, of course, I have to take care of business where it counts, you know?
So you're so clean, so fresh all the time.
I am trimmed tight in some areas, and I am shaved clean in other areas.
Wow.
And if I may say, the wife is very appreciative. As ladies are.
So I say to Beer Mug,
what's wrong with you? Why don't you simply take care of yourself and do a little manscaping? And that's when we got the miracle.
Yep.
That's when the skies parted and a beam of light came down from heaven, and we got this little kernel of this nugget of knowledge from all-knowing, all-seeing, all-wise Beer Mug.
Yes. And what was the sentence that came out of your mouth when Ralph asked you that question, Mugs?
Manscaping is actually bad for you.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Beer Mug Explains.
Beer Mug is really lame. Beer Mug has no brain. That's what we used to think. But Beer Mug is so bright. He has the answer. Also, a pretty good dancer. Has the cure for cancer. Beer Mug, come in light. Beer Mug explains things. Beer Mug explains things. Beer Mug explains things. We are dumb dumbs. Come on. Tell us how it is, cause you are such a whiz. It's time for Beer Mug Explains Things.
Okay, now look.
Beer Mug can't dab. We're finding that out during
No kidding.
I get if it's a personal choice not to do that. It's
nope.
It's a wrong choice, but it's a personal choice. I get that.
First of all, why is it a wrong choice? Wrong choice to not manscape or to
not manscape? Okay. Yes. Yeah. I get that.
It's much more than that.
Muggs' argument might be that that's just personal choice, but he's saying that it's bad for you.
It's medically a mistake
to manscape.
He followed up yesterday with it's bad for you. It's unhealthy.
It is.
And, all right. Then what don't we know?
Okay. Muggs? What the general population does not know.
Oh, thank God you're here.
I used to be a proponent of this, and quickly found out that all the side effects I'd have from shaving that area were not only uncomfortable, but a serious hazard to your health. Number one of them being...
Don't use a weed whacker, first of all.
But you needed one, Ralph. You heard about the photo.
First of all...
Can't just go in there with a regular pair of scissors.
You need a machete and a guide.
First of all, God created man to have that area...
I didn't know we were going to theological.
Full of pubic hair, okay?
Right. To protect you because you used to be naked when you lived in the wild. That's why.
Well...
Now you have pants.
Well, so I came across an article on this website called lifecheating.com that actually pointed out all the hazards of manscaping. And one of them, the serious problem being it's a higher risk for sexually transmitted diseases. There's no hair to protect you from those diseases. Okay. And you are quicker to contract something without hair than you are with.
And
AKA General Warts.
And this
General
is
a, Warts.
General Warts.
General Warts.
He's a sergeant.
I served under him in the Korean conflict.
And Muggs, how are STDs a concern between you and your fiance?
Well, they're not. You could contract an STD from a toilet seat in a public bathroom.
Jesus. Oh God.
Yes.
No.
Yes, you can.
This is crap science. You know what? Don't rub your junk all over a toilet seat.
Sometimes
you'll be fine.
I can't help it. Sometimes the junk hits the toilet seat.
Sweet Jesus.
And if you have a hairless area...
You need to worry about how to be taught how to use a toilet more than you do about manscaping.
If you have a hairless area, you're twice as likely to catch those things.
Twice as likely. Twice as likely,
science,
you're saying.
Alex.
Yes.
Science.
Yes. It's science.
First of all...
It's science.
Oh, Jesus.
Number two.
Explaining.
Number two, the skin problems is astronomical
but
when you shave your area.
Don't know how to shave.
No, yeah, you're not.
Doing
no, I'm doing it wrong. I've done it in the shower like Ralph with hot water.
Are you talking about like ingrown hairs and stuff
ingrown
like that?
Ingrown hairs, rashes. You can.
Why are you yelling?
Sorry. You can have boils and abscesses.
Oh.
Yeah. Allergic reactions.
Sure.
Razor bumps. Who wants razor bumps on their area down there?
First of all,
razor bumps on your face is uncomfortable.
First of all, if you do it right, that's not a concern.
I did it right with hot water. I made sure my hair follicles were nice and open and loose.
Why?
And I cleaned the area after. And you still get it. It's impossible.
Are you saying no one should ever shave their face then? Because some people get skin bumps on their face?
Well, that's your face, not your area.
What's the difference? If you're shaving, you're shaving. If shaving is bad because of these reasons, then why wouldn't it be bad for the face? Something that people see on a regular basis.
I think your area skin is
to your junk and rubbing it.
Your area skin is more sensitive than your face skin, Ralph.
It's
your face skin is exposed.
Your face gets conditioned to it like anything else. It just becomes, once you do it on a regular basis, those issues go away.
What about the fact that pubic hair controls your body temperature?
Oh, my God.
When you shave that area...
You live in the Arctic?
No.
What are you concerned about?
No, when you're walking around and it's 108 degrees in Los Angeles or in the valley
Wouldn't
or wherever...
Would you rather not have hair?
Right.
You get
you
more
be
sweaty.
Cooler?
No, because the hair actually creates oils when evaporated, cools that area down. I'm serious.
None of this.
This is science.
It's true.
I'm reading it from a website...
How many degrees do you think your pubic hair controls on an average day when it's 108 out?
I've noticed.
Are you feeling like, wow, it's like a balmy 50 now because I have pubic hair?
I've noticed significantly how much cooler it is after I shave that area and it's a hot summer day. You know how disgusting I feel down there? It's
again,
just like
with the touching.
Just like it's like a moist like swamp down there with no hair.
Jesus.
And with the hair, it's just more comfortable.
Okay.
It's more comfortable.
Yeah,
look.
It's your jungle that you're rocking.
I feel like I've
there.
Gotten dumber in the last, like, 5 minutes.
No.
Oh, Lord.
We're almost out of time here, Muggs, but how about this?
You know, none of this, by the way, keeps you from trimming, by the way. None of it keeps you from cutting back.
Let me mention that.
The heinous undercarriage that you're rocking.
Trimming, Ralph. I'm glad you brought that up.
Oh, because causes cancer, right?
No, it does not.
You're twice as likely to get alopecia.
It causes
your
the
penis to fall off?
No. It causes the hair to grow in thicker than it would have if you left it alone.
Not
so you're
trimming.
Gonna yes, trimming, Allie.
How would trimming?
Yeah, how does trimming
you're not
affect
getting it down
the
to
growth.
The follicle. You're just trimming the dead parts off.
Are you a hair scientist?
I am, actually.
Okay.
Thank you. Are you?
Yes.
Oh, good
Muggs,
Lord.
You're just saying things that aren't true
right,
and don't
just,
make sense.
You're just making stuff
you're
up
making
to back
stuff
up,
up
your awful hygiene.
So you guys don't... No, I don't have... First of all, I don't have awful...
Look at you.
Yes,
just look at you.
Someone's going to have the argument, it must smell down there. No, I take a shower every day. You take a shower every day, you're fine.
Okay. Look, we're out of time here, but I think the solution is obvious because you clearly don't know how to shave. I think Ralph needs to manscape you. I think that's what needs to happen. Ralph will show you how it's
done. I like
done.
It. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll wax him.
All right?
Oh,
yeah,
no.
Yeah.
Now
yeah.
we're talking.
Would you really?
Oh,
that's
gladly.
Worse.
If I get my friend that owns a spa to come in and show you how to do it,
will
you do it?
I will load him up with hot wax.
All right.
And then I will just rip it right out of his skin.
All right. Queen Bee Salon and Culver
Hopefully
City.
Hopefully draw
ready.
Blood.
That is not good for
I'm
you.
I'm hoping to draw blood is what I want to do. I want to hear screams and I want to see blood.
We have not heard the end of this topic, but look at these calls. We may have to revisit this at another time because we're out of time for right now, I'm sorry to say. But this has been Beer Mug Explains.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind? That just happened.
Beer Mug Explains things.
Chef Gordon Ramsay joins us right after the top of the hour here on the world-famous K-Rock.
You stupid donkey!
You're a fine dining aficionado.
Right? I am a foodie. I like to enjoy a good restaurant, yes.
I think the level of food that the chef makes is wasted on me. I don't think I get...
I agree.
I mean, a $20 meal is, to me, is as good as it needs to be.
Yes,
I don't
I
ever
agree.
Need a $75
you
meal.
You live at Denny's and IHOP and 7-Eleven. That's all anyone needs to know about
I
your
guess that's true.
Epicurean predilections.
Wow,
what?
Good words.
I don't know what happened.
Very
impressive.
Either. I think I just had a stroke.
Anyway, Chef Ramsay coming up. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here for Wednesday.
I've eaten at a few of the chef's restaurants.
Oh, no kidding.
London and a couple others. And
worth it?
Oh, boy, is he talented. He's great. But as good as he is in the kitchen,
I find him wildly entertaining on television because he yells at people and makes them cry.
Well, he's very passionate about the subject, that's for sure.
That is for sure, yeah. Let's take a look at the showbiz news here on the Showbiz Beat. I'm sorry, I just can't stop thinking about Beer Muck.
See, that was Dave's whole problem.
now
it's all of our problems.
And what sort of creepy crawls is his fiance rocking?
Thank you.
He needs to build a pube fortress to protect himself. That's all I can. I don't know. That girl
Why
needs to get to a clinic. Because that was his main concern. I need STDs. I need protection.
I saw a pube fortress at the Tree Blast.
Are they good? They're a great band. I'm sorry. Idris Elba. How great is he?
The best.
Right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. He's got a brand new limited docuseries that I cannot wait for. It's going to be on the Discovery Networks International. Now, I'm guessing that just means it's on all the Discovery Networks on both sides of the pond, both here and in the UK, his home country. But this sounds fascinating. It's called Idris Elba Fighter. And Idris Elba said he always wanted to fight professionally. It was a long-time, lifelong ambition of his. Oh. And so he is going to be mentored by former world champions. They're going to have the best trainers and coaches bring together and train him to be a MMA fighter. And then he was said that the culmination was he will finally compete against a seasoned brawler in a no-holds-barred bout.
But don't hurt his face. What about his face?
Oh.
But if anybody could do it, any actor you know could do it, don't you feel Idris Elba could do it?
Probably.
He's like a bad mother.
But
shut your
face.
Mouth.
Just talk about
wow.
Elba.
You. Bill! I can't.
He's 43. And
yeah, that was my first thought is he seems a little too old to get into this game.
Oh, stop it. Have you seen the man?
Yeah.
Oh, he's beautiful.
He's in good shape.
He's beautiful. Bet he manscapes.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'll be coming, I think, early next year on the Discovery Network. So I'm looking forward to that. That could be cool. Another day, another reboot. This time, it's one of my favorite films. Get Shorty. Remember Get Shorty?
Sure.
Based on the Elmore Leonard novel.
John Travolta.
John Travolta, Dennis Farina, Gene Hackman, Rene Russo starred in the film from 1995. There's going to be a new version. The 10-episode miniseries based on the book will show up on Epix TV next year. Yet here we go. Another streaming service that we have to get if we want to watch something cool. The cast is pretty cool. I would balk. But Ray Romano.
All right.
And Chris O'Dowd will be starring.
Oh, I love him.
Love
I like
both
them
those
both.
Guys. So, that could be good. Martin Lawrence is doing his first stand-up TV special in 14 years.
Martin
is going to be doing a stand-up comedy TV special.
Huh.
First time in 14 years. I can't believe he's been out of the game for that long.
I don't even remember him as a stand-up.
Really?
To me, he's just an actor.
Yeah, before Martin, the TV show, before Bad Boys, he was a stand-up. And in fact, he just wrapped up a sold-out national tour. And it's going to air Friday, September the 9th. You can see it on Showtime if you want to check out Martin Lawrence. Damn, Gina, your feet stink.
That's right.
One of my favorite Martin lines of all time. And do you ever watch The Five over on Fox News? Are you familiar with The Five?
I'm familiar with it, yes.
That's a hard watch.
It's not easy.
There's a guy on there named Greg Gutfeld who's particularly awful.
Yeah, he used to also host the late night show Red Eye over there.
He's obnoxious.
Yeah.
Anyway, he did that story that I was talking about on Monday about Coco the Gorilla jamming with Flea from Red Hot Chili Peppers. Charming story. Coco, of course, the gorilla, 45-year-old gorilla who knows sign language, was hanging out with our boy Flea, and Flea gave her a bass, and she was playing it, and it was charming. Well, this guy took this as an opportunity to just take some shots at the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Let me tell you something, Greg Gutfeld. We can take shots at Red Hot Chili Peppers, but you can't.
Yeah.
Right. We get to talk about our own family. No one else gets to talk about our family.
That's right. Here he is slamming the Chili Peppers under the guise of telling this story about Coco the gorilla.
All right. As most musicians know, this is a vast improvement over the Red Hot Chili Peppers. The worst band on the planet.
They said to me,
the producer said, you should do this story. And no, because Gutfeld's going to say the ape is better than Flea.
the ape is better than Anthony Kiedis. By the way, ape is 45, which is half the age of Anthony Kiedis. Red Hot Chili Peppers, poor man's faith no more. Don't ever forget it.
Wow.
Wow.
He's coming hard at the Chili Peppers.
What's that all about?
What happened to him during a Chili Pepper song?
Oh, I don't know. I think he was touched.
Bing a bong, Burbank. Giggy, gliggy, 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 Glendale.
I think they still got it.
I do, too. Today's celebrity birthday is Vince McMahon from the WWE is 71 years old today. Steve Guttenberg, the Goot, 58 years old today.
Have you been keeping track of the podcast that's going through all the Steve Guttenberg movies? Are they still doing it?
I haven't been following them. I'm not sure what they're up
Remember
to.
Remember we had that couple on?
Yes. They weren't that deep into it when we first talked to them. But they must be well through police
academy
by now.
They gotta be getting close to it. Yeah.
Craig Kilborn, whatever happened to him? I guess he's doing commercials now for Kraft Mac and Cheese.
Yeah, he didn't work much.
Yeah, 54 years old today. Dave Chappelle turns 43. Chad Michael Murray is 35 years old. Anze Kopitar of your L.A. Kings is 29. And Rupert Grint from the Harry Potter franchise turns 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Wednesday morning in the world-famous K-Rock. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. 1 hour from right now, Ralph and Petros have the Bachelor in Paradise report. Talk about last night's episode and, of course, more tickets for our Breakfast with Sting coming up, too.
Breakfast with Sting.
Can't buy those tickets. The only way to win your way in for next Wednesday in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock is to win them from K-Rock. All right, Allie, are we ready? I'm a little bit nervous about talking to Chef Ramsay.
Don't be nervous. He's a very nice man.
I don't want to get yelled at. I'm just saying.
He's not going to yell.
I'm the kind of guy who gets yelled at a lot anyway.
Well,
Master Chef returns with a two-hour episode tonight at 8 on Fox. We'll also get into the new mobile game from Chef Ramsay, who joins us on the phone right now. How are you, sir?
I'm well, indeed. Thank you, guys. Good morning. Great number by Sublime there, by the way. Thank you for that. That gets me on my toes in the morning.
Good. I'm glad that met your approval, Chef. So we got a lot of stuff, a lot of ground we got to cover in just a very few minutes. But let me start, and forgive me if this is a question you get asked all the time, but when you have so refined a palate, when you are such a connoisseur of fine dining, is it difficult for you to just grab something on the go? Like, are you disgusted when you just go through a drive-through the way the rest of us live?
Do you know what? I never eat out of a gas station, no matter how hungry I am, because I'm slightly nervous how long that food's been there. Sometimes it's been there longer than the gas. And sometimes it doesn't even need refrigeration, and then you've got to run for the hills.
Yeah, that's scary.
So, you know, I will do a little sneaky drive-through sometimes late at night, and I'll get my assistant, Justin, to go in and out.
And you can enjoy that. You can go to an In-N-Out burger, and you can enjoy it for what it is without being disappointed that it's not something fancy.
Oh, no, seriously, honestly. I'd stay in the car, fold down the back seats and sort of create this little table, get some extra dressing, sometimes the old fries a little bit bland, and then take off the top layer of the burger and then just sort of, you know, pimp it up a little bit, eat it, and then move on. So that's the best way to sort of
drive through. You have it down to a science.
You do. I love that.
Yeah, so in my glove compartment, there's no sort of maps and, you know, bits and bobs. There's dressings and sriracha and napkins and gherkins. And my car's like a moving truck.
I like it.
How about that? So what's it like when you go to someone else's restaurant? Do they freak out to the point where they're just falling over themselves to make sure you like their food?
That's a good question. Two things normally happen. The first thing is nothing happens for 50 minutes. So either my food's going through the dishwasher three or four times because some chef trying to take revenge based on me hammering his friend 6 or 9 months ago, or half a brigade have bolted for the hills. So I always ask what the special was. If the special's still on, you know, late at night, then it's no longer a special. So the good thing about restaurants is that they move ingredients fast. By the time the best specials are sold out, it should be about 8:30, 9 o'clock. So I always look for that sign. And then I always ask if the chef's on, because when the chef's on, he's got his name on the menu, I feel so much more at home. If the chef's on holiday, then I start to panic.
Look at all the tips we're getting.
I know. I had no
like
idea.
One right after another.
No idea.
Now, Chef, this is gonna amaze you. I don't know what the chances are of this, and I know you're probably doing a bunch of interviews this week with MasterChef coming back, but you are talking to two people right now, myself and Ali McKay, who have both been in restaurants coincidentally at the same time as you were in that restaurant. We've all shared the same air. I don't have much to say on my story because I was at a restaurant in London just a couple of years ago, and by coincidence, you happened to be there having a meal with somebody else, and I thought, wow, this place must be good if Chef Ramsay's here. And Ali, what happened with you?
I was dining with a friend and with another friend, another chef. His name is Bobby Flay. And in walks Gordon Ramsay with a little-known soccer player named David Beckham.
Whoa!
And I lost my mind. But David Beckham looked at Bobby Flay and did this kind of double take. And I was like, did he just kind of give him a look? And then you came up, introduced yourself to the table, and David Beckham said to Bobby Flay, I remember it was just you and a grill, you and a grill. And I thought, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing I've ever witnessed. David Beckham being pleased about meeting Bobby Flay. That should never happen.
He's quite foodie, you know that, serious. I mean, not just on the experience in Spain, but in Italy, playing for the clubs he did do, he's become a real foodie. So I remember that.
Do you remember me? Bobby. I was a lovely young lady.
There's this sort of 22-year-old blonde that...
Yes, she was young once.
I was young once. I remember those days.
I don't like the way you mess food around the plate, Ali. Food to me, you should be playing with it.
This took a turn.
Chef Ramsay on the phone here on the Kevin and Bean Show. MasterChef returns for a 2-hour episode tonight at 8. I had a chance to see hour one of this episode, Chef, and I'll never get over how cool it is to see your home chefs tackle a mystery box. They open up that box, and so often you put things in there that they've never even seen before, and then you force them to prepare it. You must enjoy that so much.
Do you know what I do? I mean, that 60 minutes or 45 minutes I've got to nail that mystery box is really exciting. But do you know what? Being more than ever before this year, we're actually more hands-on now in terms of actually jumping behind the scenes and getting sort of cooking with them on a weekly basis. So those canned products, you can sort of pretty, you know, understand that it gets a little bit dull. So from a chef point of view, getting in there and trying to ramp it up and making it a little bit more exciting is something that we do on a daily basis. So I love that hands-on approach. I don't like just standing presenting. I need to be in the heat and in the thick of it.
Until your series of shows about cooking made prime time, I think there were a lot of people who thought that cooking was not a spectator sport, that it was boring. But you have figured out a way, you and your producers have figured out a way to make you really be invested and learn so much in every episode. I think that's why people like it so much.
Yeah, and also I think MasterChef is about the amateurs. So, you know, we come from a professional world and, you know, some of that stuff we'd never tolerate in the real world, you know, in professional restaurants. But it's amazing how, you know, the nation are not only cooking, but yeah, you know, I'm fed up with all these, you know, issues with diets. It's not about, you know, the diet. It's about the control across the cooking because, you know, even fast food doesn't have to become junk food. And I think from the amateur point of view, MasterChef is, you know, absolutely hitting all the right notes. Kitchen Nightmares, as you know, I take very seriously. But, right. You know, we're sort of screwed there because when it works, you don't get praise. When it closes and it fails, you get blamed.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's a win-lose situation.
Did you ever see cooking taking on a life of its own with a whole networks being dedicated to it, so many shows, you've written books, you've got all these restaurants, you're a celebrity chef. Who would have thought there would ever be celebrity chefs?
Yeah, I mean, you know, whether it's Top Chef, Martha Stewart, Wolfgang Puck, you know, I fell in love with this country over 15 years ago, and, you know, one of the first major influences was Thomas Keller, whether it's Per Se in New York or French Laundry in California. So, you know, you guys have always been that sort of sleeping beauty. I think, you know, food never really worked on mainstream networks, but, you know, it is unscripted drama, and, you know, you've got no idea when you're live on a nightly basis running a restaurant and it happens to be on TV, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. I think that's what the drama unfolds. You know, there's no script, and so it's pent up, it's frustrating, and it's live. It's almost like theater, and I think that's what's capturing the nation's excitement.
MasterChef 2-hour episode airs tonight at 8 on Fox. Two more quick questions for you, Chef, because then I know you got to go. Number one, Gordon Ramsay Dash. It's new in iTunes and the Google Play Store. This is a mobile game. How do you translate the cooking experience to your phone?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all about fun, having a little bit of fun, and also, you know, you get your little restaurant set up and you become a neighborhood sort of bistro. You become reputable and then you employ more staff and then you download more pots and pans and fine china. And all of a sudden you open your second restaurant. So it's a really nice way of having a bit of pressure on the phone before work in the morning. I spent weeks, endless hours into the night in voiceover booths. Every little sort of anecdote you could possibly think of when things hit the fan. So, yeah, it's fun. It's great. I've got three daughters, and they've got it on their phone, and so they set their alarm in the morning with my voice waking them up, and it does piss them off, but it's great.
It does sound like a nightmare way to wake up. All right, last question for you, and that is a turducken worth the effort to make?
Oh,
no, it's not. It's totally overrated. Yeah, and also two completely different proteins. Secondly, you know, A duck, for instance, needs to be looked and cooked beautifully. And a turkey, listen, Bean, there's a reason why we only eat that bird once a year. I want to go on a campaign to stop those buggers deep fat frying it in the granddad's garage. I
mean, yes, that's very popular.
Lean enough. Any Muppet that wants to deep fat fry it for 3.5 hours and then eat it. I mean, come on, seriously. I'd rather eat a dog chew.
All right. A lot of fun talking to you, Chef. Good luck with the Dash game. Again, available through iTunes and the Google Play Store. We'll be watching tonight on MasterChef on Fox at 8. Have a great day, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Bean. Thanks, Ellie. Give Bobby my love.
I will. Bye-bye.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Sex robots are coming. We'll find out more about that next hour. I can't wait for that.
I know.
Also, Bachelor in Paradise Report with Ralph and P just after 8 o'clock. First, though, Ali, you had a great idea for a segment. We haven't done this in a long time, if at all, about you owned a thing and it turned out to be way more valuable than you expected. Could be something that was handed down. Could be something that you bought at a garage sale. Could be something you just had laying around the house. And, oh, my God, were you amazed when you found out how valuable it was. What made you think of this in the first place?
Well, there's a story out of the Philippines. A man, he's a fisherman, wound up finding what he thought was, oh, this is just kind of something cool. It looks a little bit like a pearl, not really sure. So he kept it underneath his bed for upwards of 15 years, just as kind of a good luck charm. He just
now, let me stop you
cool.
right there. When you say it kind of looks like a pearl, it doesn't look like any pearl you've ever seen before because it's a giant, like a rock.
Yeah.
It's 1 foot wide and over 2 feet long.
Yeah.
So no one would ever look at that and think that's a little oyster pearl.
No,
right?
It looks like...
it's coral or something.
Do you remember when Oprah pulled in the wheelbarrow with the big thing that looked like the fat that she had lost?
Yes.
It looks exactly like that.
Now, before we go on to find out how much this was worth, why would somebody put something like this under his bed for 15 years? Like, what was going on in his head where he thought, this rock I pulled out of the ocean is now my good luck charm?
Well, you know, you sometimes find sea glass, something like that, and you think, oh, this is a good luck charm. You keep it in your pocket, in your purse, whatever. I think he just did the same thing, but it was too big, obviously, to keep with him at all times. So stick it under your bed.
All right. So why is his rock in the news?
Well, it's in the news because he had to move out of his property, and he wound up giving it over to a tourism officer who then said, oh, my God, let me get this appraised. And that pearl wound up being worth upwards of $76 million.
Yay!
Yeah, world's biggest natural giant pearl from a giant clam. I want to see that clam.
Come on. With
Sorry.
Something
Go
in your house under your bed being worth $76
million. Can you imagine?
Dollars.
And he just lived in this rundown place in the Philippines, this wooden shack. That was under his bed for all those years.
I feel like that's the type of thing, if he knew what he had, he would have sold it day one.
Oh, there's no way he knew, obviously.
There's no way he knew, yeah. And it probably would have been worth so much less then, I
Oh,
bet.
Sure.
So, well done. Good job. That's amazing. Look, I doubt any of our listeners have anything in their house that turned out to be worth $76 million. But there are investments that you don't realize at the time are going to pay off for you. You know, your parents handed you down baseball card collection to you, and it turned out to be worth $30,000. You know, that's the type of story that we're looking for.
Right.
You're amazed by how much something ended up being worth. 1-800-520-1067. Ralph just did a story in the Showbiz Beat the other day. Remember, like 2 weeks ago, about that crazy couple in North Carolina that was obsessed with Michael Jackson.
Yes.
And they ended up, because they didn't have a copy of the Bad album, I think it was, maybe, on cassette. They found it in a thrift store for like a quarter. And they bought it, and it turned out to be autographed by Michael Jackson.
No big deal.
Now, I don't know what that's worth, but that's a pretty good investment on your 25 cents.
Absolutely.
I do know that. I have a thing that I found out recently was worth a lot more than I expected. And again, we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. I saw an article about how old iPods
are going for crazy money on eBay.
Really?
Because they don't make the bigger hard drive iPods anymore. Mm-hmm. You used to be able to buy the ones that were like, I don't know, 250 megabytes or whatever. You don't now. Everybody streams music, so they don't need as big a hard drive. You know, we all use our phones for music now. Very few of us have actual standalone iPods anymore. The prices are going through the roof, and one of the iPods that I have was the U2 iPod that came out.
Oh, right.
Remember that one? They did a special edition back when U2 was doing those iTunes commercials with Vertigo. They came out with a special edition U2 iPod that's autographed by all the members etched in on the side of the iPod. Mm-hmm. And I still have mine, and it's still in a box. And if you go on eBay right now, those things are selling for like $2,000, $3,000, $4,000.
What?
At the time, it was probably a $150 item. They're selling for like $3,000-$4,000. And I was thinking, that is unexpected.
Oh, my God.
So that's kind of what we're talking about here is you have a thing. Boy, are you amazed at how much it ended up being worth. Chris, you hang on. Aaron, Jason, everybody else, we'll get right to your calls right after this on K-Rock. Man in the Philippines keeps a pearl under his bed for 15 years. Turns out to be worth $76 million. That's the topic on the table here on the Kevin and Bean Show this morning is the thing that you had that turned out to be way more valuable than you expected. Why don't we start with Chris? He's in Rancho Palos Verdes. He's on line one to get us going. Chris, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. What happened, my friend?
So in 2009, I was scouring eBay for some cheap art, and for about $15-$20 a piece, I got 11 pieces of original art from this artist, and they kind of hung out in the bottom of a closet. My ex at the time, she didn't want me hanging them up. She didn't really like them, but about a year ago, I looked them up, and they're about $3,500 to $5,000 a piece now.
Holy moly.
And I got 11 of them.
Did that artist suddenly become famous because he or she went on to do something popular?
Yeah, they're in. He's in tons of galleries all over the world now. He's just doing all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Look at that. So nice. you just got lucky. Your good taste ended up paying off. Now, are you going to sell them, or are you going to hang on to them and see where they go next?
No, they're going to my daughter.
Okay, good for you, man. Thanks for calling.
No problem. Thanks, you guys.
Sounds like a start toward a college education. Let's try Josh West Hills, line six, up next. I knew it was only a matter of time before one of our listeners called with a bong-related call. Hey, Josh, what happened?
Well, I purchased a glass bong in about 1999 for a little over $100. Mm-hmm. And at that time, most people thought I was crazy for even spending that much. Now, I used it for however long and eventually just didn't really use it anymore, put it aside. Then Facebook started to develop a growing, I guess, for this artist. And now, since looking it up, it's worth anywhere from about, I don't know, $7,000 to about $10,000, depending on the right buyer. And it's gotten really out of control.
Why is it so valuable? Why is it worth so much?
Essentially, it's just more of like the artist. He's become so sought after. Kind of like the graffiti artist with Banksy.
Yeah.
Other artists like that. So
do you still still have it?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I don't think I'll ever sell it.
So if it has residue, is it worth more?
No, it's not. It's actually worth more. The more clean and less scratches and stuff like that. It's more of a piece of artwork along the lines of like, you know, painters or any sculptors. There's actually a lot of professional sculptors making a lot of stuff that's worth, I mean, anywhere from $10,000 to $100,000. This actual artist is now selling his bongs for $100,000 prior to being made.
Well, Josh, you better keep that safe.
Yeah,
don't keep
kidding.
It down by the couch.
It's in a bomb-proof case. Everything's like in Pelican cases and
all right.
Definitely not sitting on a shelf. So.
We learned a little something today, Josh. Thanks so much for the call. Appreciate that. All right. Let's try Sam. She's in L.A., line five. Hey, Sam. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You had a thing that turned out to be way more valuable than you expected. What was it?
Yeah. Well, I can't take full credit for it. It was my father's. He bought a guitar when he was like 14 in a pawn shop in L.A. And he knew it was worth something, and then when he passed, we really looked into it, and it's called the Nocaster guitar. Mm-hmm. There were like 50 made, and in between this time for Fender,
And so it was worth $40,000.
Whoa.
Oh, my goodness.
Thanks,
I'm
Dad.
I'm hanging on to it. Yeah.
Wow. Did you sell it?
We did. I mean, it was just time. We didn't play guitar, and why have it?
Oh, no.
Wow, that's awesome.
It was totally time. That's great.
Yeah.
Wow, that's nice.
And it was coming off of a coin collection that my mom had inherited that we did an auction for that ended up being $100,000. So those are a good couple of years for us.
I'll say.
So ultimately, you're glad your parents died.
Bean, I don't think that's.
I mean,
what Sam's
essentially,
saying at
that's
all.
Our takeaway
no.
here, right?
Nope.
Is good
I
on
think
you.
That is it. That's
Sam. All right, thank you for the call, my dear. Let's try. Let's mix it up and go to Jason in Riverside. He's on line three. He's on the flip side. He found out what something was worth after he sold it. Jason, what happened? What tragedy befell you?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
In 1977, my father came home with a R2-D2 action figure and a C-3PO action figure, and I'll never forget. So as years went on, he bought pretty much almost every single ship for me, every single action figure, almost all the places. I had so much, I had to keep it at my mom's house when I moved out. I had nowhere to put it. So about 4 or 5 years ago, I owed this guy some money. So I just figured, oh, I'm just trying to sell them just to get rid of them to get money because I didn't have nowhere to put them. And then so I sold them for about $300 for everything just to get rid of it because, you know, you got to sell on eBay and it takes a long time. And
sure.
I don't understand. Want to put time and effort.
So, by the way, $300 is still a pretty good investment on whatever your dad paid for him back in the 70s.
Yeah, but now when the movie came out, the recent Star Wars movie that just came out recently, I was looking online just to see the stuff that I had, how much it was worth, and man, I almost kicked myself in the ass. There were like one of the figures was worth like $100, unopened and everything.
Wow.
So realistically, I probably could have sold it for like $2,500, maybe, just depending, but. Yeah, I'm an
Jason,
idiot.
Hindsight's 2020. Let's look forward.
Right.
Oh, or
okay,
not.
Right.
Okay. All right. Thank you, sir. Sorry that didn't work out. All right. This is weird. Aaron in Downey.
Uh-huh.
Aaron, what were you trafficking in? Aaron. Hello, Aaron. I guess he's gone. How about Stephen in Irvine? He's up next, line one.
Hey, how's Stephen. Doing, guys?
Good. What's up, man?
So, yeah, my parents pulled out of the closet about 2 weeks ago my old Pokemon cards. That has been crazy hot lately.
Oh, nice.
I had so many first edition foil cards. I have over 1,000 cards, but just the first edition of Charizard I have alone is $1,500 on eBay. So
wow.
I have over $10,000 to $15,000 of cards just sitting there.
How about
all wrapped
that?
Individually, untouched, unplayed with.
I mean, if you had the foresight to know what is going to come back around in 10, 20, or 30 years, I guess we'd all be rich because we'd all be buying and saving that stuff at the time. But you had no idea when you got it that it was going to be popular again in 2016, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. My parents told me to take good care of it. I remember the card I wanted to sell so badly for $20 is now $1,500.
That's fantastic.
Thank God.
I love it. All right. Once in a while, parents have good advice. Thanks for the call. Let's do one more, and let's make it Chris in Monterey Park. He'll be our final caller on line seven, please. All right, Chris, it sounds to me like you're the big winner.
Yeah, the loser, the big loser. Right?
All right, what happened?
Well, bought a bus in 1985 out of a junkyard.
Like a Volkswagen bus?
Yeah, Volkswagen bus.
Okay.
1954, bought it for $700, fixed it up a little bit, sat in my backyard for about 10, 12 years. My wife had kids, you know, we were pregnant, or she was pregnant, and ended up selling it for $10,000. Recently, the guy that I bought it from me sold it for $110,000.
Okay.
Oh,
hold on. Hold
damn
on
those
second.
Kids.
Hold on a second. How did it go from $10,000 to $110,000 in a few years? What about that bus made it so valuable?
It's more than a few years. It was more than a few years. They bought it from me at about 11 years ago. And the 1954 bus, I didn't know this at the time, there were only about six of them left in the United States.
Oh, my gosh. And those car enthusiasts, man, there's a lot of high-dollar people out there who will just pay whatever to complete a collection, right?
And it sold at auction. And it sold at auction, and now it's in Florida. And There's no way I can ever get something like that back.
Isn't that amazing? And you bought it for $700, you said, and it just sold for $110,000.
How much do you hate your kids, Chris?
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, and that lady, too, for having them.
Sounds like the marriage didn't work out either. A lot of bad news from Chris this morning. Thanks for the call, man.
A bong, a bong, Burbank. Giggle, glig, 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 Glendale.
Okay.
Bring a bong, Burbank. Giggle, glig, glig, abracadabra, California.
Thank you, guys. All right, appreciate that. Ralph is here, time for the showbiz beat, and then we get Petros on the phone and we break it down. Last night's Bachelor in Paradise coming up right after 8. Looking forward to that.
Absolutely. Hey, want to give people a heads up. This Friday night, Kevin Smith and I are taking Babylon on the road down to Orange County.
No.
We're going behind the Orange Curtain to bring Hollywood Babylon to you at the Improv in Irvine, California. If you're down there in Orange County, we'd love to have you come join us. We're going to have a pretty good time.
No.
I'm going to show myself on Match Game. Come on.
Hell no.
What can be more fun than that?
Victor Fuentes does not want it.
He does not?
Mm-mm.
You can go to improv.com, click on the Irvine store, and then come see us.
I'm sorry, that just wasn't interesting to me.
If you were listening to the show yesterday, you know we finally just ripped back the curtain of Bean's horrible breathing. The nightmare that is Bean's breathing into the microphone, how it's been torturing everyone who listens to the show for so long now. And we played a little of this. This is a little isolated clip. It's about 2 minutes long. We won't play it all. Of Bean just breathing into the microphone and making life a living hell for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. We all heard that. Then we moved on.
Let's listen a little bit. Let's listen a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. That point made. That's fine. That was the thing
that the point's been made yet.
We talked about yesterday.
Hold on a, it's getting there. Point is almost made.
And the clicking.
Yeah. And the...
Okay. We covered that. And
so
we moved
covered
on.
That.
And now it's a new day.
And it is a new day. And you may know that next week, I think exactly a week from today, Sting is coming in to do Breakfast with Sting here on the Kevin and Bean
Show. Right.
Well, apparently, Sting's a smart man. He's a professional. He was doing his due diligence and listening to the show yesterday.
Uh-oh.
And so he sent in this for us. It's a brand new version of one of his songs. It's dedicated to
Bean.
Come
on!
I think it's pretty awesome. Here's the new Sting song.
Every breath being taken. Every noise being made. Like a chalkboard rig. I mean, for goodness sake, we can all hear you. Why can't you breathe like a human breathes? Don't you know that it's awful how you sniff and snuffle? But every single day we tune in. Like the Hall of Fame, we just can't turn away. Bean will never change.
Well, thank you for that.
Every single day, every noise Bean makes, we can't turn away. Bean will never change.
Okay. I'm not sure that's true.
That's part in.
Snuffle up because, Ruff, the worst part about us having that discussion.
Thank you, Stank, for sending that in, by the way.
Is all the listeners who never noticed it before, and now that's all they hear.
Both of them?
No. Well, I've heard from a lot of people.
Now they're hearing both of those.
A lot of people have said, the business line was ringing, and I answered it, and they said, we didn't even notice you were breathing, but now we hear it all the time, always.
Hmm.
So, thanks for that.
Listen. Putting your head in the sand does not make a problem go away, right?
Mm-hmm.
If more people had paid attention to Hitler in the 30s, we wouldn't have had that problem, right?
How does it always come to Hitler with you?
I don't know. Just my go-to. He's my go-to dictator.
That's good.
Everybody's got one.
Sure.
Yeah. Metallica, we were playing their song Hardwired, their new single.
It's so good.
It was so good. We were playing that earlier in the week.
Great news. Metallica on tour. Ready for that? Ready for a big Metallica tour?
Very much so.
Begins January 2017. It'll be scheduled like the Death Magnetic tour that they did a little while back, where the band did 180 concerts, but they would do it in two-week runs over 3 years. So they're going to be on the road for some time. The new album, Hardwired to Self-Destruct, will be out on November 18th. And then, as I mentioned, the tour begins beginning of next year. So
I have missed good Metallica, times. And I'm so happy they're back.
Maybe they'll come in. We have a good relationship with them.
Yeah, we've had them on a bunch of times. You know, I was thinking as we ramp up to that Breakfast with Sting next week, I was thinking
breakfast
about...
Breakfast with Metallica?
Remember Breakfast with Metallica? We did that. And it was maybe my favorite we ever did.
Wow.
It was so fun. We were in a room about the size of this studio, Ralph, with a little piece of tape on the floor and about 30 listeners on one side of the tape and the band and all their equipment on the other. And they really did rock our faces off.
Hmm.
In case you look at me and notice I have no face.
Yeah, what happened? I was wondering, where did Bean's face go?
Yeah, it was Breakfast with Metallica.
We're just finding out.
God damn, I love that band.
Yeah, they're pretty terrific. Today's celebrity birthday is Rupert Grint from Potter World. 28 years old today. Anze Kopitar from the LA Kings. 29 years old today. Am I saying that correctly, his first name?
A lot of people say Anze.
Anze?
Yeah.
Hmm.
He's a goddamn foreigner.
Oh, man.
I swear to God.
Don't you?
I will kill
Chad
you.
Michael Murray is 35 years old today. Yeah, someone pointed out earlier in the show I called him Michael Chad Murray.
Did you?
Yeah.
Huh.
Hmm. But you know who I'm talking about. That dreamy dude. He's 35. Dave Chappelle. Funny man. At least he used to be when he did funny things. Where's he been?
he's still in Africa? No, he's still doing stand-up.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Haven't you seen him lately? Just jacked.
No, is he all buff?
Yeah, he looks like The Rock.
Well, that's what he's been doing when he's not doing funny. He's been lifting weights,
apparently. He's been doing a lot. He stops in a lot at the Comedy Store, does amazing sets, but he looks like he's been working out nonstop.
Craig Kilborn's 54 years old today. Steve Guttenberg, the Goot. He's 58. And Vince McMahon from the WWE turns 71 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ralph, was love in the air on last night's Bachelor in Paradise?
Love was in the air. Every sight and every sound.
Let's get into the Bachelor in Paradise report. Hit it, Steve.
Come join us on this beautiful journey as Ralph Garman and Petros Papadakis recap.
It's the Bachelor in Paradise. It's so nice. It's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in sacrifice. Come on and join in on the fun, cause all these people are so dumb. So Ralph and B, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill? The Bachelor in Paradise.
For listeners who may be wondering if they blacked out and is it already Tuesday, no, there's two Bachelor in Paradises every week on ABC right now.
Yeah,
so there's
there are.
Two Bachelor in Paradise recaps. Let's welcome our friend The P from the Petrus Money Radio Show at AM 570 back to the show. Hey, P.
What's popping with y'all? Happy Kobe Bryant Day.
Hey.
Oh, right. It's Kobe Bryant
Happy
Day
Mamba
today.
Happy Mamba Day to you too, P.
Yeah, we're all supposed to get in a helicopter and save the world.
I wish I could, but I'm too busy mourning my boy Vinny. I'm just pouring a little out for my homie Vinny.
I got to be honest, that was as heartfelt. If you're going to be a grown ass man and stand on your own 2 feet and cry on national television, you got to do it like Vinny. He wrote a blueprint on how to do it.
Wow.
Really handled himself with grace and class. I thought he was Jackie O. He was so damn graceful out there, Ralph.
So what happened to Vinny? Why was he asked to leave the island?
No, Izzy and Vinny were one of the strongest couples in Paradise. They had
so
been
strong
together since day one, very much in love. So it seemed as if they were going to leave Paradise together and go on and have a relationship. And then Brett walks in, and Izzy's like, oh, my God, he's my perfect man. Whatever with you, Vinny, I need to go check this dude out and see what he's packing.
Poor Vinny.
And Vinny's like, yo, I thought we had something here. And he just quit. He said, you know what? I'm out of here. And he packed his bags, and he just walked.
Wow.
Because he said, you showed me who you are.
Yes. And he wasn't a guy trying to be on television for fame or didn't want to see what other girl was going to walk down those steps. He just said, you know what? My heart's broken. I'm gone.
Aww,
how about
Vinny.
That?
So good for Vinny. He was there for the right reasons, Pete. That's what I say.
Yeah, you know, very few and far between if they're there for the right reasons. But it's revealed, and it's revealed with character.
Now, meanwhile, Jared and Kayla, they seem to be the new hot couple. They're very close together.
Yeah, but he's a dumbass, Ralph.
What?
I like him. He seems likable. He's a very good-hearted guy. But if he can't see Ashley I for what she is, this guy is a dumb ass.
Jared and Kayla are together. Ashley, who said she had turned over a new leaf and wanted a second chance, has done none of that, by the way. She's still scheming
to... She hasn't turned anything over at all.
These two get a date handed to them by Jade and Tanner, the couple that did get married after they met in Paradise. They came back, gave those two a date, and Ashley was beside herself.
Like, what the hell? This is the worst scenario.
Why isn't that me again? Second year in a row. Just like, why am I the one that's at home single?
Because you're awful. You're an awful human being.
Usually when somebody yells out, what the hell, like that, it's usually them that's in the wrong.
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of, that's almost a given.
Right. Yeah. It's a you doth protest too much moment.
What the hell?
Ashley's so desperate, she had to turn to God, though. She had to pray for some help. Here we go.
Dear God, please hope that Jared today realizes that Kayla sucks. And I'm a lot more fun, and she is a little piece of
There you go. That's a nice prayer.
God has no
I remember saying that in Sunday school.
Did you?
Finally, somebody has tapped into the true power of prayer.
Yes. And they go on this date. It goes very well. Ashley is beside herself because her biggest fear is, P, that maybe these two will end up in a fantasy suite. And that would not...
Well, they were in a dirty Mexican river.
Yeah, what was that mud puddle they were, like, boning in? What was that?
They were grinding. It looked like they were dry, whatever. I don't know. I couldn't see because it was so muddy and dirty. But a Mexican river is not the place.
That does not sound conducive to sexy time.
No. I thought I saw a couple headless cartel bodies float by.
They stripped down to their underwear and they jumped in sort of, as P said, this sort of muddy Mexican river near a restaurant where they're having the date. And they tried to show it to us as if it was sexy, but I just kept thinking, parasites.
Yeah.
That's what I kept thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least she wasn't like grinding her back up against a rock filled with maggots.
Oh, man.
What?
It was just gross, I got to be honest. But well, she's hot. She's a good-looking girl.
She is. And Ashley had a horrible visual, mental image, though, of the two of them together in a fantasy suite.
You know what really, really scares me even more than them leaving together is them going to the fantasy suite. I think I might die. I'd die. Because knowing Jared, in most cases, he wouldn't do anything. But I feel like she does have something on him, and he's going to do stuff in the fantasy suite, and that is going to literally murder me.
Oh. I don't think she knows what literally means.
I don't believe she does either.
So is there some expectation on The Bachelor in Paradise when you're kind of circling each other to find dates to be faithful? Is that what she's expecting?
Well, that's kind of who's expecting what? Ashley I?
Yeah, Ashley's never really had a relationship with Jared. It's all in her mind. She's fixated on him.
Yeah, she's crazy. She has no life. I don't know what she does when she's not doing this.
I don't either. She now Kayla and they're dating. Ashley has a plan now to sabotage their relationship. It's the only reason she's staying in the show.
Nobody likes a saboteur.
Right. Sabotage. Here she is plotting.
Listen, all of y'all.
Before I left for Paradise, I was friends with Kayla. But then I arrive here and I'm like, oh, this girl's a disloyal bitch. I mean, that girl is freaking fake. But I really think the only reason that I feel okay is because I know him better than her. And I know how to get a reaction out of him. I'm his, like, main chick. Like, you may be, like, making out with him, but I can make out with his mind.
What does that even mean?
Oh, my God.
She is scheming.
Yeah, and then she starts telling Jared that Kayla's a robot and that she's fake.
And she doesn't have any feelings for him.
Yeah, it's just Shakespearean. It is just a really awful deal. And only Jared has to be stupid enough to realize, oh, she's in love with me and she's saying bad things about my girlfriend. Oh, I better check with my girlfriend to see if these things are true.
He does.
What an idiot.
He says to Kayla, is it true you don't have feelings for me the way people say? Ew. And Kayla's like, it is on. And finally, I've been waiting all season for a good girl fight, good cat fight, and that looks like it's brewing as we see these two confront each other on the beach.
I mean, what am I supposed to, like, not tell him things that I've been hearing?
No, you can tell him whatever you've been hearing. Whatever you want, Ashley. Like, it's going to stall my relationship with Jared, but we are trying to make you comfortable.
She refers to them as a we.
And I'm like, okay, I want to scratch her eyes out.
Fight, 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 fight. But they didn't fight, sadly. They just kind of snarled at each other.
Hey, it's going to continue. And call. I hope we can call the redheaded Julie Brown for good girl fight tonight.
Good reference.
Wow.
Good reference.
Thank you.
Hey, quick bonus clip here. I want to, because we didn't have any Daniel, much of Daniel last night. Did you see Daniel talking to one of the twins about trying to identify where she was on the globe?
The credits are generally the best time in this whole thing.
Yeah. Daniel,
you know, it's over.
The Canadian bodybuilder confronted one of the twins who had no idea where she was, and he tried to give her a quick geography lesson. Mm-mm. Here we go.
You know where Italy is, though?
No.
In Europe?
No.
No.
Where is Europe?
You know North America, obviously.
No.
We're North America.
What else is in North America?
Whoa.
Yeah,
it was
crazy.
No.
It was good times.
Yeah. I don't know what to... I mean...
We're all just stunned into silence by where is North America? Like,
well,
how do you even
Las
start
Vegas.
With
all
her?
They need to know... They're Las Vegas cocktail waitresses. All they need to know is how much bottle service is for Apple Ciroc.
Right, exactly. That is something else. So how many more weeks of this show?
I hope 100.
Okay, all right.
I have no idea. I just never want it to end.
Yeah, they're all going to have long Robinson Crusoe beards or whatever.
Hey, real quick announcement. Dodgers and Giants, game two of their series is going to be tonight. But ahead of that, you get the Petros and Money radio show for 4 full hours on AM 570 LA Sports. Thanks, P. We'll talk to you next time.
Yeah, we'll be at the stadium with our fists balled up.
Oh, okay, have fun with that.
Well, you know, it's a big rivalry.
In paradise.
Next Wednesday, here on the Kevin and Bean Show, in fact, 167 and a half hours from right now, we will be welcoming you into the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock for our Breakfast with Sting.
Breakfast with Sting.
If you'd like to be there with us, you'd like to see Sting up close and personal, talking about his forthcoming rock album coming out in November, world premiering his brand new song live in front of you, being part of the interview process, we would like to invite you to call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. If you know Sting and or the Police and their music, that's what we're looking for this time around. 1-800-520-1067. Allie, there's two things that I hope to be alive long enough to see.
Yeah?
I always think about this. You're so lucky. Whenever you're alive is technologically the most advanced time in the world.
Sure.
And I get sad thinking about the things that haven't been invented yet that won't be invented in my lifetime. Like, the world's going to be very different 500 years from now. They're going to be able to do amazing things with medicine and science and robots and everything else. In my lifetime, I want to see two things happen. Mm-hmm. One is jetpacks.
Okay.
We've been hearing about jetpacks since my parents were little. We've been hearing that jetpacks were right around the corner. Where's my goddamn jetpack? That's thing one.
Okay.
Thing two is, obviously, robot sex. Oh, now, look, geez. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking creepy. Why is it creepy?
Because that's what you want most. Let's be honest. You would forego all human contact if it could only be a robot.
But what's to not like about robot sex? Look, it's a natural progression to go from blow-up dolls mm-hmm. to real dolls mm-hmm. to now robots that look like humans.
Okay.
I mean, it's legal. It's consensual. It might put a damper on sex slaves. You might not have that anymore. There's no downside to robot sex.
It sure might put a damper on sex slaves.
Right, because
very true.
Because you won't need as many women. You won't need to kidnap women.
Sex trafficking.
Yeah, sex trafficking.
Okay,
yeah,
got
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
Okay,
right.
Yeah, it might put a damper on that.
I'm not talking about my sex slaves. Okay. I'm still going to keep those.
Okay. Right?
That's my own business. What I'm saying is sex robots, robot brothels. Now more and more reports are coming out talking about how this is the wave of the future and it's only a matter of time. Is it going to be first in England? Is it going to be in Amsterdam? Is it going to be Thailand? Where is the first robot brothel going to be? We asked Dave if you could find somebody on the leading edge of this process, and he has lined us up with Mr. Nigel McManus. He is in the process of trying to get the first robot brothel started in his area. Mr. McManus, welcome to the show, sir.
Yes, good morning. How are you?
What on earth is going on behind you?
Well, we're here in the workshop. We are building our robot sex workers in the attempts to, once again, progress, as you mentioned, forward in the world of sex for pay. And we're trying to build the UK's first sex robot brothel. And
okay.
So we are currently in works developing our girls now and getting everything in readiness.
Now, from what I understand, physically, the girls look great, but you're trying to work on the artificial intelligence to have them be more naturally responsive to human contact.
Yes, in terms of the actual robotics, everything is quite in place. But it's a matter of developing the software, the AI system, which can either be connected to one of our robot girls or have it be experienced in a virtual reality environment where you'll be wearing some sort of headgear and you'll be enacting with your fantasies, but seeing them come to life virtually in front of your eyes.
I mean, robots are awesome.
Yes, they are.
Girls are awesome.
Girls are amazing, and robot girls are twice as good.
Yeah, you put two great tastes that taste great together, right?
Well, I wouldn't taste them. They don't taste as good as regular girls.
Okay, all right.
But
that's a good tip.
I heard they taste like chicken, actually.
Okay. Now, you said they're two times better than real
twice
women. How is that?
Well, here's the thing. We have an enormous audience for this type of brothel.
Okay.
There's a tremendous untapped pool here in the UK of incredibly lonely, creepy men.
Okay. Well, I don't think that we need to characterize them as lonely or creepy.
They're spectacularly creepy.
They're just looking for options, is all.
And enormously lonely. And the fact is, I mean, and it's not well publicized, but there are many men who women will just have nothing whatsoever to do with.
Oh, okay.
Either because they have an affection for the post office, or they like to go to Denny's, or IHOP on a regular basis, or they live on an island. Perhaps.
Wait a second.
Oh, this does sound creepy.
There are some men who just have no chance of having any sort of actual sex with a real live.
I feel like this is getting personal, Mr. McManus.
And so in order to service that audience, that consumer who's not being taken care of, we believe these brothels will be enormously popular with people who have, pictures of a nude O.J. Simpson hanging in their home.
Oh. How do you know so much about
Perhaps someone has collected the art of John Wayne Gacy. I mean, let's face it, aren't we as a society better off putting these weirdos with robots in a room than letting them walk around and interact with them?
You are making perfect sense, Nigel.
Okay. I don't think we're talking about...
I appreciate it. And it's important to realize that we can also develop a girl, a robot girl, who will never react to someone heavily breathing into their face. That noise that would bother a real live woman
would not
in any way be registered with one of my robot creations.
I thought this was about science.
It's about the science of creepy people
and
how we can better serve creepy people who have a lot of money for jetpacks and robots.
Well, perhaps I'm going to take my money elsewhere, Mr. McManus. How do you like me now?
Well, you won't be spending it on any real women. I know that sometimes.
You could be right about that, too. All right, you guys, let's do this. 1-800-520-1067 if you want to be with us here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space to welcome the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame member Sting to K-Rock, performing live for you and being interviewed. You should be on the phone right now. You love the Sting. You love the Police. You're ready to play Hawking the Hits.
A guy who's lean, a guy who's clean, a guy who talks with a machine. It's time for Stephen Hawking now. Stephen Hawking now. It's time for Hawking the Hits.
Stephen Hawking.
Dr. Hawking, how are you? Welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
Well, we're doing great. We're very excited about having Sting stop by the station. I understand that you are actually a huge fan of his work.
I am a huge Sting fan, not only of his music, but his entire life. He introduced me to tantric sex.
Whoa.
I, too, can have sex for 7 hours at a time.
I am confused by that, given the limitations of you physically, Doctor.
I rock a woman in bed.
Oh, all right. Well, I'd prefer not to hear more about that, I guess. So
I manscape.
Oh, thank God.
We have callers on the line. What are they going to be listening to you for you to do today? Maybe I need to type out what I'm saying, too.
I will be reading lyrics from Police or Sting songs.
Right.
They only need to identify what song I am reading the lyrics from.
Okay, well, that sounds simple enough. Let's find out how it works. If you're right, you go into the drawing. Somebody at the end of the segment will win entrance into our Breakfast with Sting. Our first contestant is Brianna in Diamond Bar. Hey, Brianna.
Hi.
You're on with Dr. Stephen Hawking. Listen up. He's going to do a Sting or Police song for us. You tell us what it is, okay?
Okay.
Don't think me unkind. Words are hard to find. They're only checks I've left unsigned from the banks of chaos in my mind.
Oh, good God.
It's a song you know, I'll tell you that. How about a guess if you don't have something at the top of your...
Okay, how about Every Breath You Take?
I'm sorry, this time it was da-da-da-da. Uncanny, Dr. Hawking. You sound just like him.
I crush it on karaoke night.
Let's try Linda in L.A. She's up next, line two. A lot of ladies calling for Sting because he's pretty. Hey,
well,
Linda.
Well, tantric sex is real. So. I know you wouldn't know anything about it, Dean.
How
it's real.
Dare you?
Yeah, it's real.
Who's piling on now? All right, Dr. Hawking, what do you got for Linda?
Do I have to tell the story of a thousand rainy days since we first met? It's a big enough umbrella, but it's always me that ends up getting wet.
Oh, my God. Yeah, this really effed you up when it's Stephen Hawking. Don't stand so close to me.
I'm sorry, no. This time it was Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic. Sorry. Thank you, Linda. It's what you get for mocking the host.
Let's is that try... what happened there?
Let's try Robert in El Segundo. Dr. Hawking, you ever been to El Segundo?
I love El Segundo. It's the second.
Yes, it is. All right, Robert, listen up. Here's Stephen Hawking, Hawking the Hits.
I looked out across the river today. I saw a city in the fog and an old church tower where the seagulls play.
All This Time?
Yes. Wow. Well done, Robert. It's All This Time. All right.
Well,
very impressive.
Googled.
Yeah, no kidding. Is that what was going on? Was he typing while he was singing?
Yes.
Aw.
Well, good for him. He's the first one to get it.
I guess we can't
disqualify
him. It
pays to cheat.
That. It does pay to cheat. Allie knows that more than any sports fan, right, Dr. Hawking?
F you both.
Let's try Tamara. She's in Burbank. She's on line four. Hi, Tamara.
Hi there.
It says here you work for a music publishing company.
Yeah, it's a really small company. I'm sure no one has ever heard of it.
Okay. Well, let's hope it gives you an advantage. You're listing up for a Sting or Police song. Here's Dr. Stephen Hawking.
Since you've gone, I've been lost without a trace. I dream at night. I can only see your face. I look around, but it's you I can't replace.
What say you, Tamara?
Every Breath You Take?
It is.
Oh, my God.
You are in the drawing along with Robert. We got time for one more. Let's go to West Hollywood. Let's make it Rachel and see what's up. Hey, Rachel, you're welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
All right, your last chance. You're the final contestant to get in under the wire for the drawing. Here's Stephen Hawking.
There's a little black spot on the sun today. It's the same old thing as yesterday. There's a black hat caught in a high treetop. There's a flagpole rag, and the wind won't stop.
What do you got, Rachel?
Is that Synchronicity?
I'm sorry, no. King of Pain. There's a little black spot on the sun today. All right, and then there were two, Robert and Tamara, both in the drawing to join us for our Breakfast with Sting next Wednesday in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. Alan McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Tamara.
Yay!
Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you.
Tamara, we're very excited. We'll see you next Wednesday, okay?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Dr. Stephen Hawking, thank you. Well played, sir.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Stephen Hawking.
You're with me on that. That's no good, right?
No, it's not good at all.
Yeah, don't do that. All right, 8:53 Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bean Makes His Guess is coming up, by the way. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Well, I was just talking about Chad Michael Murray.
Yeah.
because it's his birthday. So we've been
and we loved him so much on Agent Carter.
Loved him so much on Agent Carter. Also, One Tree Hill, of course.
Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore Girls. What a career that dude's had. Just got some news that he's going to be appearing in a series adaptation of the Broadway musical Million Dollar Quartet. Are you familiar
and
with that?
And now, musical? A breaking news bulletin.
This is breaking news.
Yeah, that's the Elvis and Jerry Lee and Roy
the Sun Records
Carl
story,
Perkins,
basically.
Right?
Sun Records story of those four giants of rock and roll getting together early in their careers. Elvis, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and who was the fourth one? Johnny Cash? Who was that?
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a big Broadway musical. Now they're going to do a series, and Chad Michael Murray is going to be starring in it.
Huh.
I don't know.
And now, breaking news bulletin.
It's not that breaking. I don't know which one of those performers he'll be playing, but that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they all turned up at Sun Records at the same day, and they recorded it.
Yeah.
And it's just them just goofing around and playing each other's songs and gospel songs. And, yeah, it's kind of a legendary day in rock and roll history. That's an interesting idea for a play.
So that's going to be on CMT, formerly known as the Country Music
Television. Yeah.
See, I think channel doesn't start with a T. I
nope.
was confused there for a moment. Oh, and they're also, by the way, going to be premiering a little series called Nashville.
Yes. Yay!
They have announced the premiere date of that Thursday, January 5th, will be the 2-hour premiere of season 5 of Nashville returning to television. So that's exciting news for Nashville fans like Allie and myself.
Thank God.
No one has made fun of country music harder or longer than Ralph Garman.
Well, it's awful. It's just awful.
But is also a huge Nashville fan.
And I love the show Nashville.
He loves it.
It's inexplicable. Trust me. I am a conundrum wrapped in a riddle, immersed in an enigma. Or what have you. This is an interesting topic brought up by an interesting lady. Her name is Gabrielle Carteris. Does that name sound familiar to you at all?
Jamie Foxx show, is it?
She was on Beverly Hills 90210.
Just kidding.
She was on Beverly Hills 90210.
What am I thinking
she
of?
She played Andrea Zuckerman on that show.
No, not even a little close.
Not even a little bit, no. She is now the president of an organization known as SAG.
Wow.
She is the president of the SAG-AFTRA One Union. And she has an interesting article in the Hollywood Reporter trade paper where she is looking for a new law that will require casting websites to remove birth dates.
What?
She wants a law, a California law.
Wait a second.
That will prohibit casting websites from publishing the birth date of performers.
Maybe too many, just the year.
Too many gifts coming her way?
No, that's not it at all. No,
ageism thing?
It would be just the year, Allie.
But
yes.
Isn't that just biographical information that's kind of available everywhere?
But she claims it creates an unfair work environment because casting agents will look at an age and say, well, that person can't possibly play this role because they're too old, too young, what have you. Age discrimination running rampant in show business, and she says this is just making it worse.
I would never use that much math in complimenting a woman their brains can't handle.
That's true. Here's, for example, she says, my role in Beverly Hills 90210 would not have happened for me today, plain and simple, if casting websites existed. I would never have been called to an audition for a part of a 16-year-old Andrea Zuckerman if they had known I was 29 at the time.
Wow.
She's probably right.
She's absolutely
right.
And but she showed up at the audition, and obviously they liked her look, and they thought she was a good actress.
But
so
they never
would
have allowed her to audition for that had they known.
Yeah.
And she's saying age discrimination is blatant and very real in the entertainment business, especially for women. And so birth years and birth dates on casting websites just make it that much more difficult for actors.
Hmm.
I think she's fighting a losing battle there. I'm not saying I don't appreciate where she's coming from, and I think she's right that there is age discrimination, but I think that would be considered a valuable tool for people in that business to know who it is they're looking at.
But is it important what the age of a performer is if they have a look that is suitable or desirable for a given role?
Well, you would certainly hope they would be able to look past just the number.
I would hope.
You knew?
I hope I can
hope a lot of
fart
things,
diamond dust. But it just turns out it's not the case.
Because let's face it, there are people who are
30, and one of them looks 20, and the other one looks 40. I mean, that just, I mean, not all people look the
right.
same at
but
the same
age. But
let
the 30-year-old who looks 20 go in and audition for the 20-year-old role and maybe get that role, maybe change their life for the better, and don't have the casting director already have sort of a, even if it's an unconscious bias about that actor because they looked on IMDb and they saw how old they are.
Yeah, that's interesting. You think something like this could gain traction?
I think, you know, obviously you're not going to ban all websites from carrying ages, but anything that has to do with casting, you know, like IMDb, where, you know, performers go to put their professional information up so casting directors
right.
have access to their resumes and things like that. It seems like, I think she's got a legitimate point. Now, whether it will ever happen or not, I don't know.
Yeah,
but she is asking entertainment industry workers to contact Governor Jerry Brown with their personal stories of how they lost out on opportunities because of ageism and the like, and hope that it will perhaps enact a law in California that will benefit performers around the country, she says.
I will tell you, though, that's a great use of her platform as the new president of SAG is to
She's
do something
out for
like
actors.
That she thinks is yeah good for actors.
Yeah. Hey, Friday night, Kevin Smith and I are going down to Orange County. Are you down
no.
there? Are you going to be down there on Friday night?
No.
We're going to be in Irvine at the Improv doing the Late Show there at the Irvine Improv doing Hollywood Babylon. We'd love to have you come join us. So you can go to improv.com and click on Irvine, and it's pretty simple.
That's
yes, Allie.
That's not funny.
That woman, Gabrielle, on Jamie Foxx show?
Yes.
Her name is Garcelle Bouvet.
Ah!
So
not close to Gabrielle Carteris
no.
at all.
In case anyone was in their car wondering who that was, you're welcome.
Anyone wondering how Allie's mind works?
You Wrong. Got,
not good.
It's not good. You don't want no. you don't want to go into that dark place. Today's celebrity birthdays. Rupert Grint is 28 years old today. Anze Kopitar from the LA Kings is 29. Chad Michael Murray, as we mentioned, celebrating a birthday today. He's 35. I'm ruining people's careers right now. It just dawned on me. I'm giving out their ages on the radio.
Oh.
And now none of these people are going to get work.
Well, the man.
Gabrielle Carteris must hate me. Because here I am just outing people's ages.
I
sure
know Garcelle Bouvet hates you. That I know.
I didn't even bring her up. You did.
Wrong.
Oh, I just realized I'm part of the problem. If I say Steve Guttenberg is 58 years old today, how will he play a 20-year-old?
That's a good point.
Yeah. Nothing you can do, folks.
There is something I can do, the Donald. I can stop with my horrible behavior that I didn't even know was horrible until mere minutes ago.
We have a rigged system, folks.
It's a rigged system. You're right. I feel so bad. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
What happened?
Allie and I were discussing, Ralph, right before you came in. I'm curious your thoughts on the second to the last Howard Johnson restaurant closing down on September 6th. There will be only one. Hey, where'd he go? Where'd Ralph go?
Right here.
Hey, come back, Ralph. There will be only one Howard Johnson restaurant left in America after September 6th, and that one is in Lake George, New York. Any fond memories growing up of going to Howard Johnson?
I used to go to Hojo's. Sure.
Yeah.
They had a birthday club.
They had the best fried clams. They had the bellies in them. They were fantastic.
They were famous for their fried clams, also for their ice cream with 28 flavors. What was the birthday club?
You never remember the Hojo's
yeah.
birthday club?
No.
If you were a kid and you remember the Hojo's birthday club, you got to go to Hojo's on your birthday and you get a free meal and a free ice cream sundae.
Oh,
yeah.
Sweet deal.
Yeah.
There used to be a ton of them in Southern California, too.
The orange roof. That's how I always knew it.
Yep.
The orange roof.
Yep. Yeah.
I hadn't thought about Howard Johnson's for so long until an episode of Mad Men last year. They took the family to Howard Johnson's. I said, oh, right. They used to be everywhere.
They used to be, it was a Howard Johnson's restaurant and motel.
And the motel
used
yeah.
to be combined.
Mm-hmm.
And you would stay at the Hojo's and then you would eat at the Hojo's. I think my family and I stayed at one on a family vacation to Florida.
Okay.
One year when we went to Disney World when it just opened up down there.
Well, Banger,
I hardly even know her.
They're closing theirs on September 6th, and then the final Howard Johnson's restaurant in America will be standing in Lake George, New York. That may be worth a road trip. I may have to make it out there.
Oh, don't be dumb.
To go to the last Howard Johnson.
Don't be dumb.
That sounds like a lot
dumb.
Of fun. I get a haircut.
Hojo's.
No, it's
be
just,
fun.
Oh, remember the haircuts? Remember Bean's great plan to get a haircut in all 50 states?
Haircuts across America.
That
That was so dumb.
It was awesome.
You spent a lot of time and energy being dumb.
I flew to a lot
you
of
really
states.
Do.
All right.
You wouldn't get a haircut because you hadn't arranged a trip to another state.
That is correct.
Your hair would get shaggy and you'd be dumb.
It looked terrible. It really
it
did.
Would.
But I'd be like, but I'm going to miss
but you
in 8 weeks.
But you never did it. But at least you never finished that plan, which was great.
How many did you do?
Well, look, here was the problem with it.
No,
is
how
the
many
problem
did
was
you
it was
do?
Dumb.
No, the problem.
And you made a dumb plan and it made it hard to do.
God, you're dumb.
The fatal flaw was that I decided I was going to get consecutive haircuts in all 50 states. But
right.
The problem was I wasn't traveling enough. So then in between, I'd need a haircut. Between traveling.
Sure.
So then I would screw the whole thing up by getting a haircut in Washington.
Screw all the dumbness up.
But I did Hawaii and I did Michigan. And I did Maryland. I mean, I did probably a dozen, 12 to 15 states, I think, before it finally ran afoul.
Three.
Ran afoul. How did it run afoul? Exactly.
I'm just saying it didn't
before
work
Before you
out.
Stopped doing
Come
it.
Come on.
When you realized it was dumb, you stopped doing it. It didn't really run afoul in any way. You just stopped the dumb plan.
Why is this on me now? I'm just trying to bring
because
back Howard Johnson's memory.
Take a road trip to Howard Johnson's.
Why do some people tune out?
That is your plan. Is your next trip is going to be to a dinky little town in upstate New York to go to a Howard Johnson's.
I think that's an excellent
It's
idea.
Not. It's dumb.
Ralph is here. It's time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
This hurts my heart. This is just bad. Poor Leslie Jones. Boy, first of all, she was getting all that ridiculous hate on Twitter because of from a movie, for God's sakes, the Ghostbusters movie. She was being attacked with racist comments and sexist comments. It was ugly, ugly, ugly. And just when it seemed that died down, someone then hacked into her website, justleslie.com, was hacked into today, this morning. And whoever hacked into it posted not only nude photos of her that they had stolen from the iCloud, photos of her having sex, but also her passport and driver's license were posted on the website as well.
That all sounds criminal.
It's brutally criminal. And I hope to God they find the person responsible and prosecute them to the fullest extent of the law.
Call them out, boo!
Her website was taken down just shortly after 9 a.m. this morning when it was discovered that that site had been hacked and all this stuff had been posted up there. So they don't know, of course, who did it. I'm sure they're investigating. But, you know, she got into a beef, if you will, with the Breitbart editor. And a lot of his followers apparently were coming at her, so it could be any number of disgusting people. But it was just breaking news this morning. I just felt so bad for her.
It's terrible.
So unnecessary.
She seems like a nice lady.
Very nice lady, and she's just trying to make people laugh, and she's got to put up with this crap. Blech. All right. This is kind of a funny story. Miss Universe is a thing. There's a pageant they hold where they have lovely young women from all over the world competing for, I don't know, the coveted mirror ball. I don't know what they get when they win Miss Universe.
I believe it is.
But there was a Miss Universe contestant named Alicia Machado. Alicia Machado is Venezuelan-born, and she won the Miss Universe pageant in 1996. Now, this was at the time when Donald Trump still owned the Miss Universe pageant. She won the title and almost lost it in 1996 because she gained 42 pounds after she won the crown. So Trump started publicly calling her Miss Piggy.
Oh, my God.
To mock her weight. And because of her accent and she was Venezuelan-born, he started calling her Miss Housekeeping.
Wow.
This is the man who possibly is our next president.
Now, he co-owned the Miss Universe organization, so he called in a fitness expert and a dietitian to force Machado to lose the weight through a rigorous diet and exercise program, all which he documented with photographers and camera crews to promote the Miss Universe pageant. Yes.
No.
This all happened.
No.
Anyway, the reason I bring it all up is because this week, Alicia Machado got her citizenship. She got her U.S. citizenship, and she posted a picture of herself on Instagram receiving her citizenship papers, saying how proud she was to be a U.S. citizen and how she planned on voting for Hillary Clinton in her first election.
The one who didn't call her fat.
Miss Housekeeping and Miss Piggy can vote, she said on Instagram. So that just made me laugh.
That is
That's taken a long time to get revenge back.
That is a dish best served cold right there.
That is really like, let's lay it in wait, man.
20 years later, I'm going to show you. I'm going to cast a vote. So there's that.
And I think I have the best temperament of anybody that's ever run for the office of president. Ever. Because I have a winning temperament. Right. I know how to win.
Right. Yes.
Because my whole life I've been winning.
Well, right. The whole life.
My whole life I've been winning.
Been winning. Right.
And this is kind of funny. Slipknot frontman Corey Taylor hates you and your cell phone. If you saw the footage that was posted on Facebook this week, but he noticed a fan down in front of a recent Slipknot show was viewing the show through his phone, paying all of his attention to his phone and not the concert. So Corey went down to the front of the stage and slapped the phone out of the guy's hand. He admitted it and said he's not sorry about it. Told the Las Vegas Review-Journal, a lot of people get the wrong idea. They think that if I see someone on their phone, I'm just trying to rage quit their fun. I'm not trying to do that at all, but if I see someone, and it's so obvious they're not even there, you got to poke them with a stick to get their attention sometimes. Sometimes that means smacking the phone out of their hands. You can hate me all you want, but it's not going to stop me from smacking those things out of people's hands. So, I guess the moral of the story is if you're going to a Slipknot concert, don't be on your phone.
Maybe leave your phone in your pocket.
Yeah. Don't be on your phone.
Yeah, watch it. By the way, isn't that almost every concert now you go to is half the people are watching the thing on their phone?
Yeah, it's kind of nuts. I don't understand it. You're missing out on the actual experience, the real life experience, by trying to document it and then watch it later.
Right.
Where it won't be nearly as impactful as the real thing.
And how often do people watch those crappy cell phone videos that they shoot at these concerts, I wonder?
I guess once you post it, once you share it on social media, I can't imagine you go back and look at it, right?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, well. What are you going to do? That was sort of a downer showbiz beat, all that, wasn't it?
It wasn't real uplifting.
I feel bad now. I apologize. Aww. Today's celebrity birthdays. I'm not going to give ages anymore because it's ageism and I'm ruining people's lives.
Good for you, Ralph.
So I'm just going to say these people were born today.
Okay.
Vince McMahon was born today.
Steve, how old is he? I'm
not going to tell you.
Oh.
Steve Guttenberg was born today.
Mm-hmm.
Craig Kilborn, Dave Chappelle, Chad Michael Murray, Anze Kopitar of the LA Kings, Rupert Grint, and we neglected all day because Dave the King of Mexico makes this list for me,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes he's bad. But our good friend Dave Koechner celebrates a birthday.
No kidding.
Yes.
Why wouldn't he be on the list from minute one?
Because Dave's just... Dave's racist, first of all. Hates the white man.
That's I don't know who Dave Koechner is.
Oh. Is he related to Chich Pounder?
Not my fault.
No, it's not your fault. So happy birthday, Mr. Koechner. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Yeah, you are, and yeah, you do, and thank you so much, Ralph. The SoCal Helpful Honda dealers are handing out random acts of helpfulness. We all win with a commercial-free drive home today at 5 p.m. Don't miss that. The fascinating actress Kate Mara is going to be on the program tomorrow. You know her from, she was Sue Storm in The Fantastic Four, for starters. She's in The Martian. She's been in a bunch of stuff. She's got a new film coming out called Morgan. And her family owns what NFL franchise,
the
Ralph?
The Giants, right?
The Mara family owns the Giants, but her family is a blend of the Rooneys, who owned the Pittsburgh Steelers, of course.
Right.
Good Lord.
And the Maras that own the Giants, and that's where her name, Rooney Mara,
her sister's name,
Rooney Mara, comes from.
Wow.
Because there's a blending of those two NFL superpower families.
That is dynasties. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, anyway, we're very excited to have Kate on the program tomorrow. Also, it's Thursday. That means we catch up with all the sports news with our good friend Jim Rome, and Dr. Drew Pinsky will be here as well. Plus, your final chance to win your tickets. Well, one of your final chances to win your tickets for Breakfast with Sting. It's less than a week away, and we'll have those for you tomorrow morning right here on the world-famous K-Rock.